previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Hamp, welcome. Good morning. Have you calmed down after yesterday?
You know, every Monday when we come on and we talk a little bit about the game, you know, I always try to find a couple of redeeming points, qualities right. of the team, things that we can talk about. But keeping in the spirit of the holiday season here, I made a list, and I checked it twice this morning when I woke up.
Anything positive?
No, it's not good. But when you're an NFL kicker and you're paid millions of dollars and you miss two chip shot field goals, that's not going to get you any brownie points with Santa.
Live from downtown Chicago, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Good morning, 511, 720 WGN. Happy Tuesday to you. It is the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Andrea. Dave Ennett here. Playing a little hurt today. Got a little tickle going on there. It's not for me.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I didn't even come near you.
I'm trying to think how many people who sit in this studio.
I took Friday off.
Were sick. Yeah, but you were here for a couple of days.
No.
You were sick already.
No, there was an allergy. That was just a little. That wasn't a cold.
Then why did you call in sick?
Got a little worse. Worse. But I feel so much better
worse?
Today. Kevin and Ross producing the program. Steve Alexander's in. And Mary's back. Welcome back, Mary.
Hey, thanks.
Did you enjoy a couple days off?
Oh, man. I got a lot of Christmas junk done.
Ah, yeah, good for you. Good.
But there's not enough hours in the day.
There's not. You know, you start something and then you try and pick up something else.
Oh,
it
yeah,
doesn't work
I'm doing
out.
Cards. I'm wrapping gifts. I'm shopping. Blah, blah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm not doing cards this year, you guys. So Merry Christmas.
What?
Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays.
You and a lot of people.
Brian, Steve is actually off this week. Brian Noonan will be in after the 5:30 big story for you. Big show, as always, Rick Pearson in the 7 o'clock hour. We have Kid of the Week for you today and Breakfast with the Blackhawk after 9 o'clock as well. First, though, wanted to check in with ABC's Alex Stone, who is following all the latest with regard to the San Bernardino, California shooting. FBI held a press conference Monday releasing more details of the investigation, and we just continue to learn more about Syed Farouk and his wife Malik, who allegedly was the mastermind behind the attack. Good morning, Alex.
Andrea, good morning to you. And yeah, after we talked yesterday, then all of a sudden we got that picture from O'Hare Airport of the two coming into the U.S. And I know you were talking about it yesterday, but the only picture we've had of them together so far of when they entered the U.S. and she came for the first time with him. As his fiance, supposedly, with the K-1 visa, the fiance visa, as they were heading back here to California. But you're right, the FBI now believes Farouk and Malik had been radicalized, and they had been that way for a while. This is what David Bowditch from the FBI said yesterday.
The question we're trying to get at is how did that happen, and by whom, and where did that happen? And I will tell you right now, we don't know those answers at this point.
They don't know if they had been radicalized by somebody else, mm-hmm. if she radicalized him, if they did it online together. They're trying to figure that out right now. And they also believe that they had been doing target practice at ranges around the L.A. area, hopping to a bunch of different ranges to not bring up any suspicion, going back to the same place over and over again. But the last time they had done it was a couple of days before the attack. They say that they have a lot of evidence now that this was pre-planned out and pretty meticulously pre-planned out.
How chilling, you know, on every level, that the stuff that we're learning now, Alex. When we first saw that photograph that ABC News put up the first time they entered the country together, of course it's O'Hare Airport. And we know it well, and we look, and immediately you said, oh, my God, that's O'Hare Airport. And they're just chillingly staring into the lens. Now you realize what had happened. It's just horrific. And also, too, co-workers at the county health department where Farouk worked underwent active shooter training several months before this happened.
Well, exactly. In the exact same room where this happened. They had gone to this exact room, carried out the active shooter training. They don't know if Farouk had actually taken part in the training, but his office mates definitely did. It doesn't mean that gave him the idea to do it in that room, but they say makes it that much more chilling. We talked to Trudy Raimundo. She's the director of the Department of Health here in San Bernardino. And she was one of those who was hiding in the room. She mm-hmm. has told us an incredible story about the windows blowing out, the doors swinging open, and he just starts firing. Here's what she
said. Just seemed it's fire. He came in, he burst in through the doors, firing and walking into towards the middle of the room, just indiscriminately, just what seemed like firing.
She said at first that they thought it was fireworks. You don't think, she said she thought gunfire, and then in her mind thought, that can't be gunfire. Why would there be gunfire here at this building? Mm-hmm. And then she thought, no, it's fireworks. And then those doors went open, and he just started firing at everybody who was moving. She said anybody who moved at all, he shot them, and then would go on to the next person moving.
Yeah, we continue to learn more about this horrific shooting. Alex, thank you so much for everything. We appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great day.
All right, you too. It's ABC's Alex Stone. We'll check in with him a little later in the week as well. Follow him on Twitter at @AStoneABCNews. 5:15 right now. Let's get a check of traffic, and here's Mary. 5:19 in the morning, 7:20. WGN, thanks for being with us. Lot of holiday events going on. You'll definitely want to get your tickets now for T-Box, which is coming up on the 12th. What started out as a pub crawl, a little bar crawl, has turned into one of the biggest holiday fundraisers in Chicago, and its organizer and founder, Chris Festa, joins us now. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Chris, I remember you when you said, I have this idea, and I think you were still selling T-shirts out of the trunk of your car, or out of your little one-bedroom apartment at that point. Congratulations on the success of T-Box. This is your 20th year.
That's right, yeah. I just started doing it for my friends from my old job, and it started out with about 50 people, and I just never stopped doing it. So now this year we're going to have about 47 bars in it, pretty much most of Wrigleyville.
And 14,000 people you're expecting to take part.
Yeah, we're expecting around 14,000 or a little bit more, and it looks like the weather's going to be nice and warm this weekend, and everybody dresses up in costumes, and this year for the 20th anniversary, the theme is movies. So in addition to Christmas, you can dress up as your favorite movie star or movie character.
Oh, how fun is that? Going to the bars over the holidays anyway is a blast, but dressing up like elves in red and green, you can't beat it. And now movie stars.
Yeah, we think it's going to be great, and the event starts at 8 a.m., so in addition to this interview, that's the other day of the year that I'll be getting up early this year.
Right. Start off with a nice Bloody Mary.
Until 8 p.m., and we start off with opening ceremonies at the Cubby Bear, and then we go all around, and we wrap up through the rest of the day.
It's a great event. It's a ton of fun, especially if you're looking for something to do for the holidays. And the best part, Chris, is the proceeds going to such wonderful causes.
Yeah, we have a number of local charities this year, and we've been our lead charity that we've been working with for the past several years. We will have donated now over $100,000 to the Lakeview Pantry, the Food and Hunger Assistance Center in the neighborhood. And we've also donated over 2,000 boxes of cereal in addition to the money. If you've seen that, you have to go to our website to understand that we have everyone bring a box of cereal, and we kind of use that as our edible confetti throughout the day. So you'll see cereal flying around in addition to the drinks that people are having throughout the day, too.
It's so much fun. I love seeing you guys walking through the neighborhoods, too. It's an absolute blast. Where can people get more information, Chris, if they want to take part or buy tickets or even make a donation to the Lakeview Pantry?
Oh, great. Well, just go to my website, which is festaparties.com. So that's F as in Friday, festaparties.com. Mm-hmm. And we have our headquarters this entire week at Murphy's Bleachers, and that's where we are having our ticket pickup and selling tickets, and we're there from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. all week, and then we're there till 7:30 on Friday, and then we'll be there the entire day Saturday. So just come on by.
This becomes like it's like a marathon packet pickup now. You go, you get your packet, you get your information, you register. I'm so proud of all of your success.
Well, thank you very much. It might be slightly less healthy than a marathon, but we think that you'll feel about the same afterwards.
Chris, have a great time. Go to your website to check everything out. And thank you for getting up early for us.
Sure, no problem.
And good luck on the take care, Chris. That's Chris Festa. Good luck with the success of T-Box 20. You can't beat that. 14,000 participants. And last year they've raised over the years more than $100,000 for the Lakeview Pantry. So it's a wonderful, wonderful cause for those in need. So we wish him the best of luck and get on out there on Saturday if you want to have a good time. 524 right now.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
It is indeed The Steve Cochran Show. Good morning. It's Brian Noonan in for Steve all week. Steve taking vacation. Where is he? I don't know. I'm not his travel agent, but he will come back Monday all rested and ready. Good morning, everyone. How is everybody this morning?
Good morning, Brian. Less foggy today. It's
yes.
It's a nice thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful. Clear outside the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. We have a lot to get to today. We're going to have Steve's first call in a minute, of course. We've got the Kid of the Week this week, Breakfast with the Blackhawks. Ryan Garbutt is our guest this morning, so we will have some talks with him. A little, it's a strange little sports night reunion, Andrea.
In just
a few minutes, this
That's
is going
right.
to David. I don't know the tension in here. You'll be able to cut it with a knife.
Oh,
it'll be fantastic.
Awesome.
I'll take a break.
Well, feel free to stay. We're going to talk to Cap in a few minutes. Big day for the Cubs yesterday. Something that everybody saw coming, but Chris Bryant finally files his grievance.
Well, hey. It finally came to light. This had been filed a while ago.
In May, right?
Yeah. So
but they, we,
it
yeah,
just
we all
it
know it was
became
coming
public,
out.
And the Cubs don't seem too concerned about it.
Not at all. No. Jed Hoyer brushed it off yesterday like it was no big thing.
Yeah, I think they knew it was coming, and they'll deal with it. I don't think it's anything Cubs fans ought to. I know people are already wringing their hands. Well, he won't re-sign when he's a free agent. He's got to harbor ill feelings. I don't think he didn't strike me as a guy harboring a lot of ill feelings towards the Cubs. Now his agent. It might be a different story, but
sure, and that's what agents are for. They're the ones, they're supposed to be the bad guy. They go in and do the negotiating and get the money. And you know what gets rid of a lot of hard feelings, Dave? Truckloads of cash.
That will do it sometimes. It's amazing how suddenly the two sides will be at loggerheads and they'll be really angry and there'll be all this rhetoric. And then, hey, wait a minute. I think we've agreed on something.
We just added an extra zero, and now everything is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had any of those big truckloads of money come up, so I still harbor a lot of.
There's one down by the dock.
Is there one?
I thought it had your name on it. Maybe I'm mistaken.
I'm going to check during Andre's news at 6 o'clock. I'll run down there. Got to move my car anyway. Big kerfuffle on in the
parking lot. Debacle.
Big debacle this morning. Try to come in. Who would have known at 2:30 I would have to deal with that kind of stuff. If you want to get involved with the program, 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text number. You can also follow us on social media. This week it's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, Steve Cochran Show is also on Facebook and Twitter, so you can post things there as well. The first call coming up in a couple minutes. I told you that we're going to be talking to Cap. Rick Pearson will join us after 7 o'clock. Busy day in Chicago yesterday, Andrea. I know you've been covering all of that with the press conferences.
Oh, yeah.
We had Loretta Lynn's press conference
Lynch.
Where she...
I know who you meant. Yeah.
No, I said Loretta Lynn is a joke because we were joking about it yesterday. The coal miner's daughter is now the attorney general. But Loretta Lynch, and then we had the mayor's very confusing press conference yesterday.
Boy, how about that?
Isn't he dizzy from spinning around so many times?
I thought you were going to say, do his feet hurt from the flip-flops?
Could be that, too. Any gymnastics analogy you want to make, he is...
it's going to be crazy. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, immediately he said, we don't need this here, and then... I think the next morning, so less than 24 hours, said, yeah, we welcome
the
investigation. Yeah,
I've got your back. You're fired.
Yeah, and then he wrote the op-ed piece in the paper over the weekend saying, the buck stops here. It falls on me. And we welcome it. Anybody can come in. It's just, a lot of flip-flopping.
The buck stops here until I can find somebody else to pass it to because I don't want it. It's like a game of hot potato. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold on to it. You've also been talking. You talked to Alex Stone about the shooters in San Bernardino. U.S. Congressman... Adam Kinzinger is going to join us later this morning, too, to talk a little bit about Homeland Security and the new developments there. And we'll get into the outrageous comments by Donald Trump, who has decided that all Muslims need to be kept out of the country. It doesn't matter. Even if you were here and then you went on vacation, you still can't come back.
So They love me.
Somebody loves him. The people at the rally yesterday loved him until, he had to kick some of them out again.
Yeah.
And then... Boy, everybody's coming out of the woodwork, not just the Democrats, not just his usual, the usual people who would blast him, but other Republicans, even Republicans who usually keep their mouths shut are like, we can't really have that
enough
going on.
Yeah, enough.
So.
He keeps the news entertaining, we'll put it that way.
Well, but how much do we want entertaining or do we want somebody who we think can, make some rational decisions.
Yeah, because you're right. It's bordering offensive now.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Christie said it, and can we basically, I'm paraphrasing, can we have a guy who's used to just firing people on TV as president?
Good point.
That's kind of it. It's a whole different mindset. You can be a very successful businessman, and public service and politics is a whole different thing. Yeah. And I know people say, oh, we want straight talk. Yeah, well, you know, you get straight talked out at the corner tavern.
And, you know, another point, too, saying, yeah, I'm going to do this and we're going to build the wall and we're going to, you know, deport all the Muslims. Yeah. Really? In this case, words are speaking a lot louder than actions would ever be.
He's going to deport the Mexicans.
Oh, that's
he's just
right.
not going to let the Muslims in.
There's a huge, fine line
between his rhetoric. So we'll get to that, too. And, hey, this is very exciting. If you like skiing, at 720, we're going to give you a chance to go skiing. We've got a two-day giveaway. We're going to give it away for one day, but it's a two-night stay in Wausau and 2 days of skiing at Granite Peak, which is in – do you ski, Hunter?
I'm not a skier.
You a skier?
I love to ski.
Do you really?
I love to ski.
How are the knees? All right?
Well, funny you should ask,
all
because
right.
I've been dealing with a little bit of a knee issue. I've never had a knee problem.
Really?
Before. But it's feeling better.
Good.
And I hope to ski sometime. It's hard for me because of basketball.
Right. You're always busy.
To get away. But
Go Cats.
Yeah. But I'm hoping at some point to sneak away for a few days.
Are you a powder guy? I don't know a lot about the differences. I know a couple of my brothers love to go out to Colorado for the deep powder.
Well, I used to ski in the East, which is pretty much ice and rocks.
Okay.
I got pretty good at that. So now when there's actual snow, I can handle that pretty well.
Steve, you a skier?
I skied for years, but I switched to snowboarding about 15 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You snowboard, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Alexander in the X Games.
Once you go, you never switch back.
Are you like the flying tomato? You go up and you do the pipes,
the half pipes,
the flips, and you, all kind of craziness?
Not so much on the flying part.
Okay.
Tomato can, sure.
Wow. See, and when I was a kid, I used to go skiing all the time. My dad would take me over to Valparaiso all the time, to the Pines. And my wife used to ski. She grew up in Michigan. She was a skier in high school until she blew out her knee on a slalom. And now the thought of going down a mountain on two sticks just terrifies me.
Hmm.
But I agree.
But it's 720. We're going to give you a chance if you want to go skiing. I suppose you could snowboard there as well. Why not? It says right there, skiers and snowboarders.
There you go.
As long as there's a hill with snow, you can snowboard.
And that's, by the way, a very nice resort.
Is it Granite Peak?
Yeah, you can see it from. I'm trying to think what highway that is that goes through Wausau.
51 or 43?
43. I want to say, is it 43?
Could be. One of those Wisconsin highways.
But it goes right through. If you're in Wausau, you can see it.
All the map makers now are like, how do they not know where Wausau is on a map? Don't they have the thing? All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll do some traffic. And we're going to have Steve's first call. When we come back, 312-981-7200. Let's head upstairs where, look who's back.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
It's going very well. Good to see you.
Oh, thanks.
Mary Vandeveld has the traffic trouble spot.
The ball.
Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran. A lot of John Lennon music today to mark the anniversary of his death. Let's get right to it. We've got a lot to get to before the top of the hour. Let's do Steve's first call. We head out to Schaumburg. That's where Mike's hanging on. Good morning, Mike. Welcome. Where is he? There he is.
Hello.
Morning, Mike. Yes, I know, the crickets. How are you, Mike?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am well. What are you heading to work?
Just getting to work.
What do you do?
I'm an electrician.
Very nice. I wish I knew a trade. I am completely helpless around the house. I got a light bulb out. It's very high. That's the problem. I don't have a ladder. Anyway, Mike, that's not your issue. That's for me. Congratulations. You are Steve's first caller of the day. Let me tell you what you've won. You've got a Lightkeeper Pro, which for an electrician might come in handy. It's your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets. You can watch the video at lightkeeperpro.com. We're also going to send you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations. For more information, go to loumalnati's.com. That's a $25 gift certificate. That'll get you some good pizza. And because nothing says the morning like a Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, along with a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers.
Awesome.
There you go. Well, congratulations, Mike. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brian. You too.
Thanks for being our first caller. All right. We're getting a lot of texts, Mary, about some issues on the Eisenhower, and you said you you have some info on that?
Well, so far, the only info we have is that it's an accident inbound around 25th, and all the lanes are blocked at this time, and it's jammed up already from Wolf as you make your way on 290. So no other information as of yet, but all lanes are blocked inbound at 25th.
All right. Mary will keep us posted on that as the morning progresses. And now I'm told that you guys have a fantasy football league on the Steve Cochran Show.
A fantasy football league?
I gotta see
I don't
how
know anything about fantasy,
it's
except
the
there's dragons and wizards and stuff.
Hopefully I won this week. I'm on a losing streak. Oh, I played Raw, so did I? Okay, good.
Yeah, it's a laughing matter.
Right? Oh, good.
Ross comes in very confident.
No.
Ross changes his team name every week. It's hilarious.
All right, Dave, I'm going to defer to you unless who usually runs the fantasy football
plays quarterback. I'll run through the scoreboard here. Deflated
right.
Balls took on Fourth Down Punisher. That was the listener's team.
Who's Deflated Balls?
Oh, that'd be my squad. Right. Deflated Balls with a nice 126-110 win over Fourth Down Punisher.
Wow. So you're saying Deflated Balls came out on top?
Deflated Balls came out on top.
Which seems weird because you'd think they'd fall to the bottom.
They were for a while, but they're right at the top.
Wait, who's the Fourth Down Punisher?
That was the listener.
Oh, that's the new name for the listener.
Kevin's risen to the occasion.
I guess.
I have. Andre's Army, a nice 129-113 win over All I Do Is Not Win. That's Ross's team.
Andre's Army is my team, Ryan.
I got that. Good branding.
Yeah.
You've taken some marketing classes.
No, Orion gave me the name, okay. So I said, okay, big O. So I let it. Yeah.
Poor next Rossi up, had a good round, and he lost.
Yeah, shut up.
Three in a row.
Hail Marys.
Yeah.
With a big 95-54 with 54 points for Trump's hair. That's Steve Cochran.
And
wow.
I can't even gloat. He's not here.
Yeah, and I overtook Mary, and now I'm in third.
Wait, I overtook Steve, and now I'm in fourth.
Oh.
And to win it?
I've never been in a competition where people are cheering for being third and fourth.
Trust me, you've never been in anything like this.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
And how about end it to win it?
Oh.
Whatever.
How do you do?
Right there.
There we go. End it to win it put up 134 points this week. That's the high point total with a 134-83 win. Over Ann Zones. That's Steve's mom. So nice win there.
Dave obviously doesn't have the listener's best interest at heart.
Moving
Dave's
on.
Trying to win.
Looking at the overall standings in the league, and it to win it again.
Go Cats.
First place for Mr. Cat.
Look at that.
With an 8-5 record. Well done. Second place, the listeners.
Yay.
Fourth Down Punisher. And by the way, we need a new listener. 312-981-7200. Anytime a listener loses, we move on to another one. So, first caller.
No
that
mercy
calls
for
in.
The loser listener.
Yep.
Cut
I can
out.
Take
you're,
it.
You're
come
done.
Out.
You're done.
Fired.
Tell your story walking.
Yep. Andrea's Army in third place with a 7-6 record.
Good for you.
Hail Mary's also 7-6. She sits in fourth.
Moving up.
Fifth place, Trump's Hair, 7-6 record. Ann Zones in sixth place. Deflated Balls in seventh place with a 5-8 record. And All I Do Is Not Win.
Wow.
That's the best name you've picked
at the bottom
so far.
Of the 4-9.
Do you even try, Ross? Do you
I
even
do.
Look at the...
I try. I think, okay, how can I come up with a name that really encompasses...
Well, the name is great.
Yeah.
I meant on the other part.
Oh,
other part
no.
Of it.
Okay. No,
you obviously did a lot of work on the name. It's fantastic.
No.
I was just wondering about the actual football part of it.
He makes a lot of moves.
Does he? The is there a flurry one. Of emails and trades?
It keeps track of all the moves you make, right?
I do, yes. Yeah.
He tries.
I'm just
very
not very
hard.
Good at this.
He entertains us with his
I'm
name
I'm happy
changes.
To be here, but not very good at this.
You're probably better at it than I would be.
Maybe.
I have absolutely no comprehension of how this works.
Thank you. Ask a procedural question.
Uh-oh.
When do the playoffs begin for us?
I thought we weren't doing the playoffs.
We are doing the playoffs, Mayor. It may change. I got to talk to Steve about it.
Come on.
Because we had something set, but, you know, it may change.
I need a few
I know all of you guys are going to freak out when I tell you when the playoffs start. So
Kevin, we welcome it. No, we welcome it.
Well, tell me, Kevin. They won't listen.
We welcome it, Kevin.
Let's see here.
Soon?
Yes, very
Dave
soon.
Is basking in his lead. He's very calm over there, very content.
I'd like the playoffs to start right away.
I don't blame you.
I need a few more weeks.
Start in about 12 minutes.
We'll start them in week 16.
Okay.
We'll start them. How about that?
Mary, what
Good
do you
deal.
Have against the playoffs?
Oh, it's going to be complicated. I can feel it.
Mary, we
there's going to be 20 different rules, and and Orion's going to freak out.
We get a few more weeks to take Dave down.
Here's the thing you have to understand, Brian,
yes.
about Mary. Mary complains anytime we do one of these things, and then if she has a little bit of success, all of a sudden, I'm winning.
Well, this is true. I do like the basketball one. I like the basketball thing when we do the Sweet 16.
The basketball thing is good.
The bracket is fun.
Yeah, because that's all luck.
Well, listen, congratulations to Enid to win it, and to everybody else, and Ross, you know, good luck. Keep it up.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. I like the consistency.
Yeah,
your name says it. This is where I am. This is how it goes.
You know, that's how I do.
That's perfect. News next.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show.
Love your show. Love you guys.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
Good morning, 6:10. It's Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran this week. We're going to talk to David Kaplan in just a few minutes. We'll find out what's going on with Chris Bryan and Aroldis Chapman, a lot of sports information. And then we've got the Kid of the Week after the 6:30 news. This is very exciting for me. I've heard the Kid of the Week countless times. I actually get to be part of awarding the Kid of the Week for Steve in his absence. Speaking of Steve Alexander, let me ask you a business question.
Yes.
You just did that Chipotle story.
Right.
And they said there was one case of E. coli in an Illinois restaurant. They weren't going to say which one.
Well, no.
A suspected case.
Yeah. So perhaps the state is erring on the side of caution and checking to make sure that this case is connected to a Chipotle restaurant.
Legit rather than – because you said they're not naming the restaurant. It could
Correct.
Be one. Is that a – because you would think if in fact they do find – that it is a valid complaint and it is at a specific restaurant,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't they be obligated to tell people which restaurant that is? Or
is
it better to protect the whole company and just say, well, it's somewhere in Illinois. We're not going to tell you which one so that the specific Chipotle doesn't take a hit.
Well, it makes you a little less likely to eat there, I suppose.
It does make me.
Until you find out whether A, it's true.
Exactly.
And then B, which restaurant it was that was involved. But, my guess is that most of the Chipotles in Illinois and Chicago get their supplies from the same supplier.
Exactly. And the reason I'm at – when the first West Coast Chipotle E. coli mm-hmm. outbreak started, my daughter came home for Thanksgiving, and she could eat nothing but Chipotle. That's her favorite. But, like, coming back to Chicago, I'm like, oh, where do you want to go first? Chipotle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got to go to Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, are you worried? Nope. She would eat there if they had, like, E. coli just hanging on the wall. She would still go in and gamble. She'd go, well, I'm just not going to have the lettuce. Okay. If that's how you want to be. So, well, good luck. I hope it's not
true. Well, it's up to 9 states now. 52 cases in 9 states.
And it's amazing. And because their stock was skyrocketing.
Yes.
Not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, you start doing stuff like this, things get dicey. Another video has come out of alleged police brutality. This one, a man who died, Philip Coleman, he was taken to jail and for a reaction to antipsychotic drugs. Mm-hmm. And he was in this cell, and the video shows him being tased. Then he was dragged out of the cell by his wrists. The medical examiner said the cause of death was accidental, but the coroner is saying, well, he had bruises and scratches from his head to his toes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mayor came out yesterday in his press conference and said, I do not see how the manner in which Mr. Coleman was physically treated could possibly be acceptable. Something is wrong here, either the actions of the officers who dragged Mr. Coleman or the policies of the department. And that's another video where people are saying, listen, how was nothing done to these police officers?
Yeah, it really has not quite to the extent yet, or maybe some may argue, it has kind of shades of John Birch. Remember back in the day with the torture tactics?
Yeah.
And I'm not accusing anyone of doing this and saying it's that extreme.
Right.
But just these incidents that are emerging now. And then, play the flip side as well, the other video emerged yesterday with the other police-involved shooting.
Yes,
and no charges. Hernandez. Right, because this particular suspect was alleged in the video to have a gun.
Right, and this is the problem. Videos are great because we do get to see some things that we wouldn't get to see. Videos also leave some things out because you could look at this this Hernandez video where he shot Ronald Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ronald Johnson in the video looks like he's running away. Now, granted, he has a gun. So he's running away. He's not obeying the orders to drop the gun and to stop.
And we see him running, and you're like, well, he's just running toward... Well, no. According to reports, he's running toward another police car that has occupants in it.
With a weapon.
Right, with a weapon.
Point.
So he's running at another police car with a gun, but we don't see that part. So it's easy... In some cases, there's not a lot of question with the videos. In other cases, there is some question. When you see a guy being tased and dragged out of a cell, there's not much question, especially when... You know, the reason he's in there is he's on, you know, he's coming off some antipsychotic drug. He's got problems in the first place. And that's got, I can't imagine the police department having to deal with people with psychotic problems. It's, you know, they're trained for it on a very small basis. This is things that they're, you know, it's beyond their scope. They're not medical professionals.
And I've heard things in recent days, too, since the Laquan McDonald video was released with people saying, well, you know what, maybe they can shoot him in the leg or something of that sort. Well, Ronald Johnson was shot in the leg and the arm, and that was the bullet that traveled through his arm to his eye, and that was the fatal shot. So, I mean,
anytime you're shot, it's bad.
Right.
I know I'm understating it, but... You get shot, there's a chance you could die no matter where you're shot. And anybody who does any shooting knows you don't aim for limbs, you aim for center mass.
Right.
And it's also easy for people who are not, you know, for you and I sitting here talking about it, we're not in the heat of the moment chasing someone who has a gun. You know, it's not like shooting a paper target where I get to line everything up and the target's not shooting back at me or running and, oh, look, I can always hit center mass. If you're unfortunate enough as an officer to have to pull your weapon and fire at somebody, it's tough. But the videos just keep coming, and this is not good. And we'll talk to Rick Pearson next hour because the mayor, as you use the term flip-flop, I use the term doing 180s. Either way, he's got to be all dizzy because the mayor keeps changing his tune, and Rick will try to put a little perspective on it for us. After we take a quick break, we're going to talk to David Kaplan. There's a lot going on with the Cubs. There's a lot going on in the world of sports, and Cap will have it all for us on the other side. But right now, we have to head up to Traffic Central because I know one of the traffic trouble spots that Mary's got has got to be the Eisenhower, right, Mary?
Ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Dog? What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo? Dog? Buttercup, Romeo, Buttercup.
Now, your Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
It is time for Cap's Corner, brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran. Let's welcome in the man, the myth, the legend, sometimes in his own mind, but we don't know for sure, David Kaplan. Cap, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Brian. How you doing, bud?
I am dandy. So a busy day for the Cubs yesterday. Mostly the grievance that everybody knew was coming. It kind of came to light yesterday. Some people have been wondering, what exactly is this service grievance that Chris Bryant has filed against the Cubs? Can you clarify that for us?
Well, you have to serve a certain number of days in a major league season to have that entire year count as what's called service time. And you get free agency granted to you after six seasons in the big leagues, while by keeping Chris Bryant down for the 12 days that they did, he falls one day short of last year counting as a year of service time, which in essence gives the Cubs 7 years until he's a free agent. And when you think about, you know, Brian, where the price of contracts are today, you've got, you know, Mike Stanton out, called Giancarlo Stanton, who signed for $325 million. David Price at 217, Greinke at 206, Albert Pujols at 254. Well, when Chris Bryant's a free agent, if he's as good as he looks like he's going to be in 7 years, that could be a $400 to $500 million deal. You could delay having to sign him that for a year. That's huge on your budget. So I don't think Chris is the guy so much balking. I think this is the union and Scott Boras using this case as a test case so that they make sure, as they got a collective bargaining agreement negotiation coming up, that this will never, ever happen again in the next collective bargaining agreement.
And there was a lot of talk, a lot of buzz around Javier Baez. Anything going on that? He's staying a Cub?
Well, they are talking with the Tampa Bay Rays, who, because they don't have the big market and the financial wherewithal to be able to keep a lot of their guys. David Price used to be a Ray, for example. They are going to try and move one or more of their relievers who are starting to get ready to get paid. and one or more of their starters. They have Chris Archer, who they actually acquired from the Cubs for Matt Garza a few years ago. Everyone wants Chris Archer because he's not only elite, he's signed to a team-friendly long-term deal. I don't think he's moving, but I do think they've got a kid named Alex Cobb. They've got Matt Moore. They've got a few guys, a couple of whom dealing with Tommy John, now coming back, but they're elite arms, and they want Javi Baez because he's cost-controlled. He's got 5 years till free agency, and he looks like he's going to be a really big power bat. So that is where that's at. They're continuing those discussions. The big talk down at the winter meetings that exploded last night was this Aroldis Chapman trade, the star closer of the Reds to the Dodgers, with a domestic violence case that nobody knew about because no charges were filed, but reportedly may have put his hands on his girlfriend and then fired a gun off in his garage. And the he said, she said, according to the police, so they did not file charges, but now the trade has been put on hold.
David Kaplan is here for the Chevy Dealers Caps Corner. Don't forget, get your call in 312-981-7200 because before Cap gets out of here, Kevin is going to try to stump Cap. So the reason the Aroldis Chapman thing didn't come to light is because there were no charges filed. Nobody on the team knew? Nobody knew anything about that?
Well, apparently there was another team that had discussed with the Reds a trade for Chapman going back in 2-3 weeks, and they had heard whispers of this, did their due diligence, and just said, in today's climate, we're not going to make that move. And then I think the Reds, because Walt Jocketty is a stand-up, classy executive, head of baseball operations there, he said, look, I just want to inform you guys, here's what went down in Florida. That's where Chapman lives. No charges were filed, so we don't think that it's going to cause any problems going forward, but you need to know about it. As the Dodgers read the Yahoo story that Tim Brown and Jeff Passan broke yesterday, and some of the ugly details started to come to light, they said, whoa, hold on a second here now. Guns fired. She's hiding in the bushes. 12 cops are called, and eventually no charges. But Major League Baseball is now going to investigate. So you could be looking at some type of a suspension if they determine he violated the personal conduct policy. And it's just in today's world, you know, you cannot be bringing guys like that in if there is a hint of impropriety.
Yeah, and this is something I think all teams have to be cognizant of when they make it. I mean, it used to be that you made a trade and you gave a guy
as long as the guy was
physical
healthy,
and that, there you go. The commissioner's office approves it and you move on. But now you have to really be cognizant of how a guy is off the field and whatever other baggage there might be with a guy you trade for, even if you're not giving up a ton to get him. I don't think the Dodgers, supposedly these prospects were not high prospects for them, but still it doesn't matter. You're taking on not just the player, but you're taking on his troubles.
Yeah.
Well, you don't forget, you've got Jose Reyes who they would like to be traded, and he got into a domestic violence problem in October that's being investigated not only by police, but by MLB security. So he's untradeable right now. And then you got the whole Papelbon situation, which not a domestic violence, but he got into it with a teammate and he got suspended. He has a grievance against the Nationals for not paying him for the last whatever number of games. It's several hundred thousand dollars. Is he tradable? I mean, it's just a mess right now with some of these guys.
Cap, real quick, before we ask you the stump question, somebody texted in and just does service time, we were talking about Chris Bryant before, does service time count for playoff games?
No. Only
okay.
Counts for regular season games.
All right. Let's meet our listener who is going to try to bet for or against Cap. Eric is in Racine. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
We are well. All right. Cap, I know Kevin tries to stump you. How is your record against him?
Not good. Kevin's very
good. All right. Well, let's see what he's got for you today.
So we've got to ask Eric, you think Cap will get it right or wrong?
I don't know. His history usually hasn't been too good against Kevin. So I don't say he's going to get it wrong this time.
Wow. Okay. All right. Hang tight. Here we go. All right, Cap, with Samardzija heading to San Francisco after signing that 5-year deal. Of course, he's played for the Cubs, the Athletics, and the White Sox in his career. Who are the only four pitchers Who are the only other four pitchers to have pitched for the Cubs, the White Sox, the A's, and the Giants?
Cubs, A's, White Sox, and Giants.
Right. Besides Samardzija.
Do you put a timer on him? How does this work?
Normally.
I get till tomorrow morning.
Till tomorrow morning? All right, that sounds fair.
If you can name two of the four, I'll give you that.
As long as it takes him to Google it.
I was going to say he's fast with the Google.
Not while I'm driving. Cubs, A's, White Sox, Giants. Wow. Steve Stone? No, because he never pitched for the A's.
Right. I was thinking Greg that, Maddox, too. Yeah.
That was Greg Maddox. He never pitched for the Sox. Dick Ruthven?
Wow.
Wow.
What if there were none? No, what if it's a trick question?
Now we've got four answers. Goose Gossage, Don Larson, Scott Sanderson, and Bob Shaw.
Okay, Bob Shaw makes really good crab legs out in the suburbs.
That's Bob Chin, isn't it?
I never heard of the guy as a pitcher. Never.
Don Larson, I knew he pitched for the Cubs. He also pitched for the Sox, huh?
Mm-hmm. 1961, wow. I believe it was.
Wow.
One season, yeah.
Well, does Eric win a prize now?
Oh, yeah, because he wins all sorts of prizes.
He's got all sorts of prizes.
We'll get him some Lumonati's, visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations, Lumonati's.com, and how about a Lightkeeper Pro, complete tool for repairing holiday light sets. Watch the video at lightkeeperpro.com.
Very nice. Well, Cap, sorry you lost to Kevin again.
Not a surprise.
That's all right. Well, listen, good talking to you, and have a wonderful day. What do you got going on this afternoon?
People can catch me. I'm actually on 9 to 2 today.
Oh.
Over at ESPN 1000, and then you can catch me at 5:30 on Comcast Sports Center.
Sounds great. Good talking to you.
Have a good day.
Take care. That's David Kaplan. You hear him every week. Chevy Dealers Caps Corner is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
It is the Steve Cochran Show, and it's time for Kid of the Week. I'm Brian Noonan, in for Steve this week. Do you know a child that goes above and beyond for his family or community? Nominate them for Kid of the Week. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit an entry for a child between 5 and 18 years old that you think should be the Kid of the Week. The winner will be announced right here on this very program. That's not all. In December, we'll choose a Kid of the Year from all of the 2015 Kid of the Week winners. A Kid of the Year will be awarded a $5,000 scholarship, courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. And Kid of the Week is sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. And a young lady who has gotten in under the wire and is eligible to be the Kid of the Year is our Kid of the Week winner this week, Grace Adusi. Grace, welcome. Congratulations on being named Kid of the Week.
Thank you very much. It was quite an honor.
Now, your Aunt Marianne is the one who nominated you, and she said you are just a phenomenal young woman. You're a senior at Glenbard West, right?
Yes.
Congratulations on making it through almost 4 years of high school. That's a daunting task. What's what's next for you? What are you looking forward to after graduation from Glenbard West?
I hope to pursue a degree in organ performance at a music conservatory.
Oh, wow. That sounds very nice. And that's part of the reason that you were nominated, because of your musical skills. But before we get into that, you have a very unique background. Tell us a little bit about your family background.
Well, I am one of 15 children, and my parents adopted 7 from Asia, and I'm the first of the adopted kids.
Wow. That's very cool. And so how old were you when you were adopted?
I was 3 months old.
Very nice. And so you've been here, 15 kids. That's got to be a crowded dinner table.
Well, my 8 older siblings are moved out of the house, so there's only 7 of us living at home. So it's not
as
crowded
all?
As you
think. I think 7 would still be pretty crowded. When everybody gets together for the holidays, the noise level has got to be just off the charts.
Yeah, I would think so. It's quite normal for me. Yeah. So I can't really compare, but it's always a party, and it's always fun to see everyone.
Now, is the whole family musically inclined, or do you stand out from the rest of your siblings?
Everyone in my family has had a musical experience, but I'm the one who has had music in my life for the longest.
And you play the trumpet, and you're part of Buglers Across America. I had never heard of that before I started reading your background. What is Buglers Across America?
Bugles Across America is a volunteer service for bugles to go all around, all across the U.S. to perform taps at veterans' funerals for free.
Wow.
Because we believe that all veterans deserve the honor of being honored at their funerals for all the service they have done. So it was truly quite an honor to get started with the organization, and it has really been a humbling experience playing for all these veterans who have done so much for our country.
How did you get involved with the program?
Well, my grandfather is a World War II veteran. He was in the Air Force Band, and I have three older siblings who are veterans of the military. So the military has been a very strong connection to me. And also, my mom researched the Bugles Across America and thought it would be a good service project for me to do during high school. Mm-hmm. So I agreed to do it. And so after my first one, I was like, this is what I have to do. This is so great and so humbling. I really enjoyed it. So I just kept at it.
Well, it's a great service, and people might not know that before there's been such a shortage of people who could play taps correctly that usually it was played off of CDs, but then veterans groups started saying, listen, we have to find some live people. Now, when you started doing this, you were very young. That had to – were people looking sideways going, how is this young kid going to play taps at a veteran's funeral?
Yeah, I know some people were like, looked at me, were like, oh my gosh, who is this? They're probably going to play it awfully, but hopefully I pleasantly surprised them when I performed the taps.
Well, you must have. You've been doing it for a long time, and it's a great cause. And it's one of those things, you know, you mentioned service projects, and everybody with a high school student knows that that's part of the deal now. Kids do service projects. Most kids do service projects that are kind of convenient to them, where they can sleep in on the weekends. It fits into their schedule. But with Bugles Across America, you have to be on call all the time, right? And a lot of these funerals are Saturday mornings, things like that. So you've got to be up and ready to go.
Yeah, some requests come during the week. So I'm kind of prepared for the early morning Saturdays. But if you think about what these men went through, the veterans went through for our country, getting up early on Saturday is nothing to that. So I just think of it as a small little sacrifice to thank the veterans for their great ones.
Well, Grace, your aunt was correct. You are a remarkable young woman. Congratulations on all the success. Good luck as you leave Glenbard West and go on to organ performance. Is that what you said you were hoping to major in?
Yep.
Well, good luck with that. And congratulations on being Steve Cochran's Kid of the Week. That's Grace Ducey, and she is the Kid of the Week for all the right reasons. Remember, if you know a child that goes above and beyond for his family or community, nominate them for Kid of the Week. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a child between 5 and 18 years old that you think should be Kid of the Week. The winner will be announced right here on this program. That's not all, in December. So we've got a couple more weeks of Kid of the Week, and then we are going to choose a Kid of the Year from all the 2015 Kid of the Week winners. Kid of the Year is going to be awarded a $5,000 scholarship, courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. So congratulations again to Grace Ducey, the Steve Cochran Kid of the Week. All right, let's head up to Traffic Central now. Mary Vandeveld has a traffic hotspot.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
A fracas, you heard him.
Hey, Mr. Ennett, can you tell me what a hand pass is?
Sorry, Brian, but little Katie had a question.
I'm sorry.
We have to let her.
I'm getting bad information.
She gets nervous, when the mic's open.
I'm sorry, Katie. So I apologize for that. I didn't realize that you were going to jump in. But she has a good question here on Hawkopedia, because we heard this the other night as part of the big point thing, right?
Well, that's right.
So what is it? What is a hand pass, Mr. Ennett?
We're not talking about passing the hat. We're talking about a hand pass.
A hand
pass.
It's
a different thing.
Correct.
You're right. There was a lot of talk about it after Sunday night's Blackhawks win when Patrick Kane used a hand pass to feed Artemi Panarin for the clinching empty net goal, which also extended Kane's point streak to 22 games. According to NHL rules, a hand pass is legal. Player can stop or bat a puck in the air with his open hand, but if play will be stopped if he has used a hand pass to pass the puck to a teammate in the offensive zone. Hand pass is legal in the defensive zone. If play is stopped for a hand pass, there'll be a faceoff. Now, it's a penalty if a player catches the puck and skates with it. I mean, think about that. If you could catch the puck, and you could be like Walter Payton, just making your way down the ice, carrying the puck.
That makes sense.
I mean, it definitely is a big offensive threat, but it's not legal.
Can I whip the puck? Like from the blue line, can I just whip it at the goalie?
No, you can't do that, although that would add an interesting dimension to the game.
Add a lacrosse element.
Yeah, I think goalies would have much shorter careers if that were happening.
All right.
A player has to put the puck down on the ice immediately after catching it. But the hand pass the other night by Kane to Panarin came with both players in the defensive zone. Legal hand pass.
And that's defensive zone, okay.
And that's our Hawk-opedia for today.
Very nice.
Brought to you by?
Brought to us by
Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Thank you to them.
Thank you, of course, to them. And don't forget, if you're looking for a...
Thanks, little Katie.
Wow, little Katie must be going through something. Her voice dropped about four octaves.
Hello.
Little Katie's all of a sudden doing a Peter Brady.
She had the sponsorship. She's right there with it.
Little Katie's making money. That's why we love little Katie. She gets the bills paid. If you're looking for a great Blackhawks-themed holiday gift, don't forget, One Goal Three and a Hat Trick are out. The book and the video, the DVD about the Stanley Cup winning season. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Then there's more 720 WGN. John Lennon for the anniversary. 35 years ago. Is it possibly that long? 35 years that John Lennon was killed by Mark David Chapman? I heard Nick talking about this earlier. Do you remember where you were when you heard the news?
In the womb? No, I'm kidding. No, I wasn't. I'm not there.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking. You probably were like a year old. You probably weren't paying much attention.
I was young. I remember, you know, everybody, my dad especially, big Beatles fan, was down. And, you know, it was weird being a kid and watching everybody's reaction to that.
Yeah, all I remember was I was sitting at my parents' dining room table doing homework. I was in high school. And the football game was on downstairs. And I heard the commotion, and I heard Howard Cosell talk about it, and then I was always looking for a reason to take a break from doing homework. So I left the table and went down and watched when they talked about it. And then I remember the aftermath and stuff, and at that point, I knew the Beatles. I liked their stuff. I was not a diehard crazy fan, but it was one of those things where I just went, it was sad, and you knew it was a big deal. And over the years, I guess my appreciation of that has grown more and more when you see what happens. But Chapman's still in jail, right? He's never getting out.
He is. He comes up for parole every now and again.
Yeah, I love when those guys come up for parole and it's like, oh, they're going to poke their head out of the hole and then they're, nah.
Although when Hinckley, I was surprised. I mean, he's not going to be released, but he gets now supervised. He gets to leave and then come back, so it's almost like a halfway house for him.
That's weird too. But you think about when John Lennon was shot 35 years ago and how open celebrities were at that point. There wasn't the phalanx of security for most people that there is now. You know, John Lennon just lived in the Chelsea. He was just walking around New York. No big deal. It was just everyday life. And then you get some lunatic who's stalking him, basically. And you didn't hear about it that often back then. But that was when we started paying attention to stalkers and celebrity, people getting shot and whatnot. Kevin, you haven't pointed to me. Are we going right to the news? Is that the plan? I know you like to point to me.
Well, it's not 7 yet, so we'll wait.
Well, no,
here
I
for
understand. We're going to wait for 20-some seconds. That's fine.
We should clarify that Fresh Wave is the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks. They sponsored Dave's Hawk-opedia.
And who is that again?
Fresh Wave.
Fresh Wave.
The official deodorizer of the
Department of Justice announced a special investigation into Chicago's police department. We welcome it. And Chicago as a city will be better for it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve is on vacation. It's Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran this week. That was the mayor doing another one of his backflips, spin around, change my mind, do whatever it is he decides to do, because things have been... Things have been crazy in Chicago for a long time, but the last few weeks have been even crazier. A man who can really help us put it all in perspective is our good pal, Rick Pearson. He is the host of the Sunday Spin, Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 here on WGN. You can read him in the Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Rap30. And he's one of the many voices that you will hear Friday the 18th at the Miracle on Jerry Wells Street, the radio play here on WGN. You did a great job the other day, Rick, covering everybody's voices while they were absent, like Andrea, from the read-through.
I didn't even know I was supposed to be there. Rick, thanks for doing it. Who am I, Rick, by the way?
I'm not going to tell you.
Zuzu? Yeah, it's a mystery.
Zuzu. Am I Jerry Wells?
I don't think Jerry makes an appearance, but in name only. But which is a nice honor. So, Rick, welcome. This is I don't even know where to start with you, but let's start with the mayor, who seems in the last week or so to have changed his opinion on everything from Gary McCarthy to the Justice Department to what he's going to have for lunch. He just can't seem to stick with one story.
You know, it's very interesting when you think of Rahm Emanuel as the guy who is known as the control freak, who's a micromanager, who tries to stay ahead, a step ahead, a spin meister. To see him in these last few days just kind of bouncing back and forth and really showing a kind of a form of weakness that we've never come to expect from this mayor. Like him or not, he was always a very determined guy. And now you see perhaps one of the ultimate embarrassments is the fact that, you know, the Department of Justice coming in to do its practices review of the Chicago Police Department. And, you know, while you played that clip where we accept it, we're going to cooperate, and we need it, those are words that had to be very bitter for him to say.
In the old words of Harold Washington, do you think this was hubris on the part of Rahm Emanuel, where he thought, you know what, this is never going to really come out, that which is why he fought for a year to keep the Laquamic, the video from coming to light?
You know, these days, though, and maybe that's part of a generational change, but these days, everything comes out.
Right.
You know, and so to think that video was never going to come out, sure, it was going to come out. I think he just thought it was going to come out at some other point in time where, again, he could control the situation. And so the fact that he can't control everything is really what's playing against him right now.
Rick, Rahm's been somewhat of a Teflon mayor until now. Do you think this is a chink in his armor? And if so, do you think this is a severe enough chink to where at the next election voters are going to remember? Or is it too far down the line, you know, 3 years from now? Or do you think the opposite? Voters are going to say, hey, you know what? McCarthy, Bennett, a lot of his appointments are really, you know, not turning out to be who we thought they were.
Well, Rahm's big strength in all of his campaigns was the fact that he's been there, he's tested, he's a leader. And what you're seeing now are questions about his leadership. Yeah, I think it's a serious flaw. But the fact of the matter is, I still think we live in a very short attention span theater society, especially when it comes to political matters. And, you know, he does have 3.5 years left to go. He says he's not going to resign, and there's really no reason for him to do so because he does have that rehabilitation period. But that having been said, too, Andrea, you got to beat somebody with somebody. And who's going to be the next candidate for mayor should Rahm seek a third term? We don't know at this point.
Rick Pearson's joining us this morning. Rick, can you hang on for a couple minutes?
Sure can.
All right. Brian Nooner for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN, and at 719, we continue our conversation with the one and only Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune. He is the host of the Sunday Spin, Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 right here on WGN. Always good to talk to Rick. All right, another head rolled, Rick, in the Rahm Emanuel saga that's been going on for the last couple weeks. The head of the IPRA was let go, and Sharon Fairley was appointed as the new head. Do you think this is going to, is this just, you know, well, we're shifting things around, that's going to make everything better? Or do you think there can be any real change in this? Because the Tribune pointed out they have not had a real good record of disciplining cops for wrongdoings.
No, and in fact, the number of cops that have been disciplined for in police-involved shootings is very low. I mean, this is what you do. It's kind of out of the playbook 101 is you appoint a task force, you throw some people under the bus, You change, try to shake up the status quo. But what will be interesting is that in this Department of Justice investigation, certainly the Independent Police Review Authority, they're also going to be coming under Department of Justice scrutiny, too. So that process will be something that will be looked at. A lot of the complaints are is that IPRA has been largely a law enforcement-driven kind of vehicle, even though it's supposed to be an independent review authority. And of course, the whole creation of that board came as a result of another scandal during the Daley administration. So to say that anything has gotten better during that time, that's really kind of the whole problem here is that, you know, when Emanuel got elected mayor, he kind of pledged to sweep aside the bad practices of the past and you know, pay off the, make reparations to the victims of the John Birch torture cases, those kinds of things, pledging that it was a new day. And really what it comes down to is people are seeing that that new day never really happened.
One of the questions that the mayor kind of evaded yesterday, he was asked why you're being reactive to all these scandals with the police department rather than being proactive and trying to fix all this before it happened. He again, dodged and weaved a little bit.
Yeah, and that's kind of goes along with what I was saying. He was pledging reforms, pledging to shake things up, and it didn't really happen. Sure, he put new people in, Gary McCarthy, things like that, but just kind of all of this, I think, shows of the very entrenched culture that exists in the police department. I mean, one of the things yesterday I thought was interesting was with the interim police superintendent, John Escalante, the questions that were raised about how he saw all of these police reports about the McDonald shooting. He saw the video, saw how these reports were at odds with that video, and still forwarded that report along. Why didn't he raise a red flag? Why didn't, you know, he make it known that this is not consistent with what is obvious on the video? And it was kind of at that point when everybody walked out of the room.
Yeah, because he started rambling and stammering, and then, like you said, he left without answering it. What do you make of the chief of detectives retiring? Because he was not involved with the McDonald case, but he was involved in some scandals earlier. And his reason was, listen, there's new leadership coming in. We're going to let them make their changes. Is there something deeper that we're going to find out about later with this?
Well, I mean, Dean Andrews, he's involved in the ongoing investigation of the Kochman issue, and he was under investigation at the point that Gary McCarthy made him chief of detectives. So there's a question there: is, you know, how do you make this guy? How do you promote him at a time when he's under investigation? And here again goes to that issue of that kind of entrenched culture that exists there.
Rick, do you think this whole the dash cam video being released now of these two incidents, you know, a week apart, sets kind of an interesting precedent or any precedent at all, meaning now that everyone might ask for this or maybe the city council is going to have to pass some sort of a resolution saying, yeah, it's automatically released? Do you think that's going to set any precedent?
Well, actually, there's already a bill that's been introduced in the legislature in Springfield, bipartisan sponsorship, that basically says that dash cam videos are not exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. And if a law enforcement agency wants to claim that it's part of an ongoing investigation, they have to get a court order to have it exempt. And I think you're going to see that legislation basically fly. I think this is going to be the new norm. And when you have all this talk these days in politics about transparency and accountability, this is the world we live in. And it goes back to the very first question that Brian asked about, you know, did the mayor think that this video was never going to get out? This stuff always gets out. But that having been said, we still have these ongoing issues about the fact of where's the audio on these dash cam videos? Why there's a lot of questions about the McDonald incident with the dash cam video audio, because if you listen real close, you can hear sirens, but you don't hear any of the actual traffic, the chatter between the cops. And there's a question that, frankly, there still is that ongoing federal investigation individually into the McDonald incident. And you know that they're going to be looking at that as well.
Yeah, because we hear the audio on the Ronald Johnson video. We hear all the radio chatter and everything else. So good question. Always good stuff, Rick. I know it's only Tuesday. Have you started putting together this week's Sunday spin yet?
We're working on it, but we certainly have no shortage of things to talk about.
No, you've got about 4 hours of stuff to try to put into a two-hour show. People will be listening Sunday morning at 7. They can also follow you on Twitter at Rap30. Rick, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
It is indeed the Steve Cochran Show. Steve's on vacation this week. I'm Brian Noonan. I'll be here with you through Friday, and then Steve's back on Monday. That's how the days of the week work. I didn't have to tell you that. You know how that. Congratulations again to Vito, who won our big ski vacation that we gave away. Two nights at Jefferson Street Inn and Granite Peak at Rib Mountain up in Wausau. We're waiting to hear from U.S. Congressman Adam Kinzinger. We'll be talking to him momentarily. Got to talk about this Trump statement calling for a, quote, total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States, and the news that the shooters in San Bernardino had been, quote, the FBI radicalized for quite some time. So we'll get to all of that with the representative. Troubling, because here's the thing. You know, we can set up watches. We can try to figure out, you know, the intelligence community is watching people and who's on the list and what's going on. But then you've got people who can just, you know, they're here. And by all accounts, up until this point, law-abiding citizens, they have job. Everything seems fine.
Right.
But they're becoming radicalized. Yeah. And we don't know how. We don't know when.
And they bought the guns legally.
Right.
It's not as though, like we said yesterday, they're sneaking them in or shipping them in. No, they
bought them from a friend.
Yeah.
We're joined now by the congressman. Adam Kinzinger joins us. He's the rep from the 16th District. Congressman, welcome. Thanks for taking some time this morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, all right, we were just talking about this. You've got these shooters in San Bernardino who yesterday the FBI said have been radicalized for quite some time, but they don't know how. They don't know who radicalized who. None of that. What do you think the solution is? Because for all the intelligence we have, and we're watching people on lists and we're following groups, but then you have just a private citizen who can have their switch flipped at any time. How do you monitor that?
Well, you know, look, I mean, we have to balance civil liberties with security. And, you know, there was a recent, I guess, kind of a trend in the Republican and the Democratic Party to say, well, let's get rid of all these domestic, you know, surveillance programs. And we did all that, even though the fact that, you know, Google, for instance, knows more about you than you probably know about yourself. They've been tracking what you've been Googling. They know how to advertise to you. They have that in a database. The government's not allowed to do the same thing. And so, you know, I think we have to have a real discussion about, you know, how do we balance civil liberties with the fact that the government needs to protect us. And that's a big issue. The other thing, though, is obviously ISIS is having a lot of success. And just like, you know, everybody's a Chicago Bears fan when the Bears are doing well, when they're doing bad, you know, it's hard to find the fan. And so I think it's important to deal serious, solid blows to these terrorist organizations, and it makes them far less attractive to people that would be radicalized.
Let's go back for a second to the civil liberties discussion you just brought up. So that makes sense on the surface. You say, yeah, we've got to figure out a way to track that. But how then what guidelines would you use? Because by all accounts, these people they weren't on any list. They had jobs. They were law-abiding citizens. How would you decide then who we should monitor? Do we monitor everybody who says they're Muslim? Should we monitor anybody who has any ties, any lineage to the Middle East? How do you set that up?
Yeah, you know, look, I mean, and just to touch on what you said, look, Donald Trump, because he's the one that's been saying these outrageous
yes,
comments. Look, we have a First Amendment in this country. We have the freedom of religion. It doesn't mean that you have to be a Christian to have freedom of religion. It means that you have the freedom to believe what you want to believe. So we need to be not only very careful, we need to be very intense on protecting people's religious liberty, which includes the right to serve Allah if that's your flavor. But, you know, the second you take your religion and you turn it into radical jihadism, like has happened in a minority of Muslims, then I think if you show that, obviously you're open to being monitored. But I think the other thing we have to understand is, you know, bulk collecting, for instance, is very important to see. Maybe that triggers, you know, a call to a safe house, for instance, in Saudi Arabia may give us product of a number in the United States, and we can use it from that. But we are never going to be completely safe because you know, you can't screen for people's hearts. And if somebody has murder in their hearts or they have jihadism in their hearts and they've shown no outward sign of it, it's really hard to put them on any list. And I think that's something that, you know, in this new era of high information and the ability for terrorists to talk over the internet, you know, we have to understand that we'll probably never be completely safe, but we can definitely mitigate dangers that exist out there.
Talking to Representative Adam Kinzinger. Representative, can you hang on 1 second?
You bet.
Thanks very much. We'll get more. You can follow the representative on Twitter at Rep Kinzinger, or his email is kinzinger.house.gov. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Brian Noonan in for Steve, and we are joined by Representative Adam Kinzinger from the 16th District. You hear him regularly here on the Steve Cochran Show, and it's always good to talk to the representative. Andrea had a question for you, Representative.
Good morning, Congressman. Wanted to ask you, you know, when unfortunately, every time an incident like this happens, there's another mass shooting, we always turn to, well, we need tougher gun laws, which, of course, we all agree we do need tougher gun laws in this country. But how do you do that in this particular case when they came over here? Especially this woman who is alleged to have radicalized her husband, purchasing all of these weapons legally here in the United States.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with having a conversation about access to guns. There's nothing wrong with doing that kind of thing. I mean, that's debate in this country, and that's fine. People are on both ends of this issue. I think to use this gun issue, though, with this terrorist act, I think is very disingenuous of a lot of people. I mean, the reality is I own guns. I have plenty of them. And I'll tell you, the guns in my possession are not instruments of murder. They're instruments of protection. They're instruments of, you know, target practice, et cetera. In the wrong hands, they do become. So the question is, how do we keep guns out of the wrong hands? So, you know, some people have tried to arbitrarily use the idea of a no-fly list. Ted Kennedy was on the no-fly list at one point. Some people have tried to say that. But I think finding ways to keep them out of the wrong people's hands, and especially those that are mentally ill. When we get out of terrorists and we talk about people that just walk into schools and movie theaters and everything, there's a common link with a lot of these folks, probably all of them, to even pick it up. I think you'd follow this definition, is you're mentally ill. So how do we keep the guns out of the hands of the mentally ill? And how do we take care of the mentally ill in this country? I think these are questions we need to have. But to knee-jerk, I think, react to say, let's pull guns from everybody is unrealistic, and it's frankly wasting a lot of time.
No, I agree with you, and part of what you said, too. But I think a lot of this needs to be proactive instead of reactive. For example, you brought up the no-fly list. Farouk's father is now on that list, who's a 67-year-old right. man who allegedly had no idea this was even going on. So, I mean, there probably needs to be a little more sensitivity to who is on that list or who's not on the list.
Yeah, or come up with a list. You know, people who have been through due process, and that's the key. If you're going to deny somebody a right that's in the Constitution, you know, the right to speech, religion, or, you know, the freedom to own weapons, which the Supreme Court has said that the right to militia and the freedom to bear arms is a personal right. If you're going to deny somebody that due process, it's got to be more than being arbitrarily put on a do not fly list. So, I like the theory of where it's going, which is keeping guns out of the wrong hands, but I think it probably deserves a lot more thought to figure out how to get there in a way that would actually be successful instead of, like you said, a knee-jerk reaction where you just say, oh, the do not fly list.
Congressman, you mentioned earlier one of the things you're worried about is ISIS is getting stronger. They're getting more attractive. We heard a story this morning about Spain having more young people trying to be recruited by ISIS. The president talked about, we know there's more airstrikes. We know there's some special forces units going in to try to battle ISIS. How else do you think the U.S. and our allies can make the dent to make ISIS look less attractive to these people who could be radicalized?
So, if you know, people recruit for ISIS in essence the same way you recruit for a gang in the inner city. You take, in many cases, very disaffected people or people that want to belong to something bigger, and you show them that they can have success with you. And it's only typically when somebody actually goes to Syria or, you know, Iraq or whatever, that they become jihadists and then are willing to die for the cause. But if you tell somebody, hey, if you travel to Syria, you will die, it's less likely that they'll join. I think we have to deal significant blows to ISIS. I think we have to take out their headquarters in Raqqa. That may take some ground troops. I think we have to understand that. When we went into Afghanistan, we went in initially with 20,000 troops. and we crushed the Taliban. It was some missteps later which led to their resurgence. Our military is perfectly capable of doing this. We've gotten somehow an aversion, though, to using any amount of ground troops. I get that, you know, we think we're war weary. I would argue that we're not war weary, but it may take some ground troops. Right now, we're basically out of missiles. The Air Force has put out and said we're running dangerously low on bombs. The question is ISIS much weaker today because of us running out of missiles? I would argue they're not. And in fact, they're looking successful and being able to recruit out of this this perceived success.
When we look at perhaps putting more ground troops over there, the argument is, well, we don't want to get into another protracted engagement or war or battle, whatever, however you want to term it. People don't want to look at another 3, 5, 10 year ordeal. Realistically, and this may be a question that you can't answer, how long do you think it might take?
Well, it depends on how much force we're willing to utilize. I mean, if we wanted to use the full resource of the United States military, we could end ISIS in a month. If we want to, you know, do it slowly, which I understand people's concerns with 200,000 troops, nobody's advocating for that, including me, then it will take proportionately as long as how much force you're willing to use. But just keep in mind, every day that ISIS exists, that we're not willing to do what's necessary, more and more people are killed. More and more members are radicalized over here. I heard somebody once say, they said, you may not be interested in war, but war very well may be interested in you. And this is the situation I think we find ourselves in now.
And you bring that up, and it makes everybody a little nervous, because we talked about this before. Right now, people think, and probably rightfully so, that the U.S. is going to be a target of an attack. How ready do you think we are in terms of intelligence? Are we protected as well as we can be? You mentioned earlier that we can never be completely safe, which everyone knows. But do you think we're as safe as we can be?
No. Look, I think we're safe. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to not go to the shopping mall this Christmas season. I don't think there's any reason to, you know, hunker down in your house. If there's a terrorist attack, the chance of it actually hitting you are about as, you know, much as the chance of winning the lottery. It's low. But, you know, one of the problems that happened is after we left Iraq in 2011, we got rid of our intelligence gathering operations. I mean, it's been years since we've captured somebody on the battlefield and then interrogated them. I'm not even talking about enhanced interrogation. I'm just saying interrogated them in our own hands. And the problem is, when you lose that human intelligence, you lose access to what is being planned. Imagine if it is found that San Bernardino folks had contacts with Al-Qaeda, for instance, or with ISIS. We very well may have been able to learn that through interrogation if we captured somebody on the battlefield. Not in every case, but I think it's important for us to increase not just our drone surveillance, because all drones do is basically look down and see a visual picture, but our human intelligence, which starts, is how you begin to understand the soul and hearts of people that may want to come in and kill you. But look, the United States isn't as much of a target as Europe. And Europe right now, I mean, with their intense amount of refugees there, with their, you know, very radicalized population in many cases that they have, Europe's in very, very bad shape right now for this.
Congressman, we thank you very much for your time this morning. People can follow you on Twitter at Rep. Kinzinger, and they can email you if they need to, kinzinger.house.gov. Have a great holiday. I appreciate the time.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than when I should. Yeah.
We love the song. We love the man, Dean Richards. Dean is sponsored by Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. Good morning, Dean.
How are you doing today, Brian?
I am dandy, and you?
I'm tired.
Uh-oh.
I'm sleepy.
Oh, late night? What were you up to?
Really, I have not gotten, I haven't gotten a wink of sleep the last 4 days because I've been worried about what Kim and Kanye were going to name their baby.
I saw the announcement, and I thought, Dean can finally rest.
Really, all America.
Well, that's true.
Can stop worrying now. Can stop fretting over this. That little saint is
that's
West. Saint West.
Saint West.
His name is Saint.
You're setting a kid up for failure, aren't you? If you
a lot of butt kicking in the playground.
That poor kid.
You think he's ever going to be without security? I would like to think that he's, you know, a kid, no. Like if had you and I been
or
named
therapy.
Saint, yeah, oh, or it's a lot of therapy, a lot of therapy. When you name a kid Saint, you, I don't know.
Is there a middle name?
They have not announced the middle name. No,
that's a good question.
Maybe there is, but I don't know what it is.
All the other suggestions that you had yesterday for naught.
Nope. Easton
Saint never even came up.
No, it's. I mean, it's different. So I'll, you know,
well, sure, it's.
I'll give him that.
Different, so you know, there's a lot of things that are different that really shouldn't happen.
A polite way,
but yeah,
one polite way of saying.
And again,
talking about that family.
Again, how do you, you know, you don't want to bash a baby. It's not the baby's fault, but you want to take the two parents' heads and clunk them together like coconuts.
Oh, who cares? Really?
That was your post last night, and I loved it. I know none of you care, and yet here's the news.
Look, here's look.
That's
I have
your job.
I have a responsibility. And well, and here's the thing. You know, all of these stupid Kardashian shows, I have never once ever seen the Kardashian reality show. I've never seen Caitlyn Jenner's show. I just don't watch reality TV. I don't watch any reality TV. I don't single them out. You know, but these are among the highest rated shows on cable. Somebody is watching these.
What does it say about us, Dean? I know you've probably talked about it. What does it say
there's
about us as a culture?
It's something. There's something for everyone is what it says.
That's true.
As the great Roy Leonard used to say, and I repeat this over and over again, that's why Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors. There's, you know, somebody will like something no matter what. There is. So somebody likes the Kardashians. Somebody's watching. It's not me.
It's not me.
You, as far as we know.
Andrea?
I don't watch that at all. I watch a lot of crummy reality shows. That's not one, though.
Dave
so,
being
so
very
we put
quiet.
It on there. So I posted it. Is Dave a good...
Dave very quiet during this. He's
what?
Like, ixnay on the Kardashians.
Yeah,
they're
no,
my favorite.
I never, never. No.
One of the texters said the middle name is Pauly Girl.
Oh, St. Pauly Girl. I love that.
Very nice.
Nice.
Texter from the 630. Congratulations.
Nice tap in. Thank
made
you.
Us all, made us all laugh.
And with the assist, the 847 area code.
Got it. Hey, that texter has a point in 23 consecutive shows. So we are very
about
excited about
broken
that.
Broken Bobby Hull's record for sending in funny jokes.
That's right.
That's good.
Always good. Dean, can you hang on?
I think so.
All right. Well, I hope you can. All right. We'll talk more with Dean Richards in just a minute. Dean is always sponsored by Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. So we'll get to that. A lot more to talk to about Dean. Right, hot off the Kim and Kanye baby name announcement, we go back to Dean Richards, who is now able to rest. He's able to go to Toys R Us and buy something off the registry to send to a young Saint West while he's doing other things.
That's right.
What do you?
I sent him a blender. Is that a bad gift for a baby?
I don't think so. Babies love smoothies, Dean.
I thought of one of those Nutribullets.
That's nice.
I see them advertised all the time. So
well, sure. If it's advertised on TV, it's a quality product. We know
anything,
that.
Anything that's on TV,
sure,
is truthful and quality.
That and the internet. Now, a lot's been made in the last month or so about Chirac. It was released last weekend, and one of the stars of Chirac was on Colbert last night. Jennifer Hudson made an appearance.
Interestingly, she did not talk about Chirac at all.
Why? Why do you think that was?
On the show? I don't I don't want to speculate. I don't know. I don't know if she's trying to distance herself from it or not. She's actually going to be on our morning news a week from Monday. We do our annual drive-through toy drive.
Right.
The foundation that she set up for her little nephew who was murdered is the beneficiary of our toy drive. So I'm sure we're going to talk about Chirac when she's here for that. Because who doesn't want to talk about gun violence at a toy drive? You know, really.
Boy, I know I do. Happy holidays.
That's why I don't get invited to parties. There's an appropriate Dean again. He's going to bring up uncomfortable things at festive holiday events.
Dean, can't we just be kind of superficial today? It's a party.
Right.
Can't we just have fun?
Can we just talk about Kanye's baby instead, please? It doesn't get much more superficial than that.
Exactly.
So I don't know why she didn't talk about it. I suspect because she and Stephen Colbert, who did a great interview with her, by the way, wanted to talk about her. She's about to make her Broadway debut, which is a big deal. She's playing Shug Avery in The Color Purple, which will be reopening on Broadway very soon. So it's a big deal for her and everything that she's been through. So she talked about that. We have a little bit of her talking about that and a little of her performance last night, so you get a little taste of it, I think.
Well, Kevin says we don't have that.
Don't have that, Dean. Are you looking for Jennifer Hudson?
Likely,
we don't have that one.
A likely story.
Listen, don't. Kevin's in a cranky mood today, Dean. Don't push
not
him.
At all.
Don't.
You know what, Brian? We're all exhausted with this Kim and Kanye.
Everybody is sleepy. Am I the only one who didn't care and slept like a baby, knowing that not even knowing that Kim and Kanye were expecting again? Where have I lived?
You're just going to have to trust me. How great she was. Apparently, there's a problem on our end.
I hear she was fantastic. She's going to be on Broadway. That's what I hear. Debuting on Broadway.
Really, that's all you need to know.
I'm not traveling to New York. I'll wait till it comes here to one of the fine theaters in Chicago.
I'm sure she'll be at the Victory Garden Theater.
Listen, maybe she'll do dinner theater. I like to eat while I'm watching a fine Broadway production.
That's very true.
You know, Salisbury steak and drama makes me, I'm happy.
I've sat near you during some holiday, during some theatrical productions and...
Sitting by you after you eat Salisbury steak.
Not so much the smell of the food, it's the sound of his fork on the aluminum plate.
I go at it like I'm a prisoner. I can't get enough Salisbury steak when I'm watching
death,
a drama.
It's like death row eating when you're near Brian.
Don't come near me, I'll shiv you. Hey, the band that I think a lot of us hadn't heard of until the tragic Paris bombings, Eagles of Death, they made an appearance with U2.
Yeah, it was cool. U2 rescheduled the concert that they were supposed to do. The night after the terrorist attack in Paris. So they rescheduled their concert last night. And in a really class move, Bono and U2 invited Eagles of Death Metal to join them on the concert. They invited them up on stage. Bono said that this was the band that was supposed to appear at the Bataclan Theater that was attacked, at which 90 people were killed. So Bono said that they were robbed of their stage 3 weeks ago. We'd like to invite them on ours. So the band came out and joined U2 doing the Patti Smith song, People Have the Power. So it was pretty cool, pretty cool moment, and kind of a symbol of terror. We're not going to let the terrorists win. Life will go on.
That's very cool. And sometimes Bono gets a bad rap because people think he's overly earnest, but he seems like he puts his money where his mouth is.
People say that about celebrities all the time when they get political and do those things. They're entitled to also do what they want to do. They have a forum to publicize things that they think are important, and I defy anyone to say that the things that Bono has been involved in have not helped the world.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to fault the guy because he's he cares about things.
And he can rock big sunglasses, so you got to give him that too.
He does wear big sunglasses.
He loves
about as good as anyone else.
You know it. This is exciting news for Carol Burnett fans. They added another show, right?
Well, I'm so glad we have this time together. Just to have a laugh and sing a song.
That's Dean. When we start singing, I'm with you.
And we just get started.
And before you know it. It's the time we have to say so long, Dean.
Now Brian is tucking his ear, allegedly.
I'm pulling on something.
Hello, what? So last week we told you guys about Carol Burnett coming to the Chicago Theater. She does this show in which she comes out, she plays old clips of her show. She talks about them, tells behind-the-scenes stories, and then, as she says, let's bump up the lights. She turns the lights up and takes questions from the audience, just like she used to do on her old show. She sold out the Chicago Theater immediately. That's a big house.
That's huge.
That's like, I think it's like a 4,000 or 5,000 seat theater, something like that. It's gigantic. But it sold out immediately, so now they have added a second show. Tickets for a May 19th show will go on sale this coming Friday. Pre-sale tickets will go on sale the day before that. But if you're interested, I'm sorry, tickets are going to go on sale, this coming Friday, okay. May 19th. Carol Burnett, don't miss this. If you're a fan of her old show, you'll have a great time. It's a really fun evening.
And Carol still seems, despite her age, she's still on the ball. Every time I see her on an interview, still hilarious.
Completely.
And that show was... For anybody who liked comedy, that show was a must-see back in the day.
Legendary. It's a legendary show. She shows, all the classic clips, tells, what happened before, after, behind the scenes. And really, part of the fun of it is the unpredictable nature. You do not know, and she does not know, what the questions are going to be coming from the audience. And she just shows how quick and witty she is and, how very much... on the ball, she still is. Absolutely delightful. She did it at the Rialto Square in Joliet a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
maybe, and it was just a great time, really great time.
So tickets go on sale on Friday.
Yep.
And thank you. Now, I don't know what you'll do tonight, Dean. That baby watch, baby name watch is over, but hopefully you can get some rest.
Whatever happens next, we will break into regular programming no matter what.
Good.
We are your official Kim and Kanye station for 2015.
I like the cut of your jib, Dean. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for noticing.
Take care. You're welcome.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
It's Brian Noonan on the Steve Cochran Show this week. Steve is in parts unknown, resting up, getting ready for the big push toward the holidays. He'll be back with you on Monday. Thursday night in Palatine, there is a big event to help benefit the Leukemia Research Foundation. I am happy to be part of that, as I have been for, I don't know exactly how long. Somebody who might know, though, Carl Alston, he is the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Leukemia Research Foundation, and he joins us now on WGN. Hey, Carl.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I am dandy. I was trying to remember if it's been, I don't know how long I've been helping out with this Rockin' for a Cure event. It's 4 years, maybe 5 years. I don't know.
I think it's 5 years that you've been involved with us, and we thank you very much.
Oh, no. Listen, it's a great cause and a fun, fun event. Tell people what the Leukemia Research Foundation does.
Well, the Leukemia Research Foundation does three things. We are in Northfield. We've always been a Chicago area organization. We fund research to find the cures for leukemia, lymphoma, multiple myeloma, and myelodysplastic syndromes, blood cancers, and we've been doing that for almost 70 years now. We also provide patient education programs, and we provide patient financial assistance. So if you're a person living with a blood cancer, we need you to come to allbloodcancers.org and see how we can provide some help for you.
That's because once you start racking up those medical bills, it can get expensive real fast.
Oh, yeah. It's no joke there.
So Rockin' for a Cure is Thursday night, 7 p.m. at Dirty Nelly's Pub, which is in Palatine at 180 North Smith Street. And it's sponsored by the Dad's Chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation. Who are the Dad's Chapter?
Well, the Dad's Chapter is one of 24 chapters of the LRF. They came together quite a few years ago when members of the chapter noticed that they were having fathers who were diagnosed with a blood cancer or lost to a blood cancer. That's generally how they were founded. And since then, they've been doing very well in fundraising and helping us spread awareness about the Leukemia Research Foundation and our mission.
And this is Rockin' for a Cure is the annual big fundraiser. It's a great event. Tell people what they can expect if they show up at Dirty Nelly's on Thursday, and they should show up at Dirty Nelly's on Thursday.
Absolutely, because we thank Dirty Nelly's for helping us host this event every year. When they walk in, they will be walking into a kind of a glossier Leukemia Research Foundation, because we are now recognized as a 4-star charity by Charity Navigator.
Nice, congratulations.
So when they walk in, they see all of the raffle prizes and door prizes and other things that'll be there. We have a new band this year called ARA that's going to be playing a little bit of classic rock to keep everybody entertained. Great food, of course, and friendly people. And, of course, you know, if you get a raffle prize given to you by none other than Brian Noonan from WGN, that prize is double in value right there.
Sure, just because I sweat on it. You get a little of my DNA, you pass that along. People are willing to pay top dollar
That's
for that.
Valuable.
Kind of thing.
That's valuable.
It is valuable.
Absolutely valuable.
And it's
of course,
fun.
It helps us fund the research that we fund every year to try to find cures for these blood cancers.
And it's a reasonable night, at $25 at the door for a ticket. But if you want to, maybe you're looking for a last-minute company gathering, you want a group of friends to go out, if people are going to buy 10 or more tickets, Carl, you'll cut them a deal, won't you?
Absolutely. If you're going to bring 10 people or more, you just call the Leukemia Research Foundation at 847-424-0600, and we will give you 10 tickets for $20 per ticket instead of the $25 that you'll pay at the door.
That's a nice deal. And all the money goes to help fund all this research and to help people out who are having some medical bills. Now, I do like it. People see silent auctions all the time, or they go and do raffles all the time. What are some of the highlights of the prizes this year? Because every year the prizes seem to get better and better.
Oh yeah, we've got a few surprises for the silent auction part. For the other raffle prizes, we've got everything. We've got a girl's bike. We've got some Home Depot items. We've got a dog dishing thing with WCIU. We've got restaurant things, museum things. You know, we always have dozens and dozens and dozens of prizes for people to win. So if you walk in there, your chances are fairly good that you're going to walk out with at least one thing. Or if you're buying a lot of raffle tickets, you might walk out with a lot.
And explain, I like this. This is something I haven't seen at other fundraisers I've gone to. Usually you can get five raffle tickets for $10 or six for whatever. You do it a little bit different, a different way of measuring out the raffle tickets.
Right. We have what we call a wingspan, and one of our volunteers named Don is the person who will pull your wingspan of tickets. In other words, he'll take one end of the roll of tickets in one hand, stretch out his outstretched arms. He's got like a boxer's reach, for Pete's sake.
I think he's got a 40-inch sleeve.
And you'll get all of those tickets for, you know, $20.
Not bad at all. You get quite a few tickets for that $20. All right, Carl, again, it's Thursday. This Thursday, December 10th at 7 p.m., Dirty Nelly's Pub is at 180 North Smith Street in Palatine. It's Rockin' for a Cure, presented by the Dad's Chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation. For more information, you go to allbloodcancers.org. You can get your tickets. You can find out. Come out. Say hello. Donate to a great cause. The band this year, Ara, a brand new band, a little change up. We're going to have some classic rock. Should be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to seeing you Thursday night, and we'll get everybody out there that we can.
Absolutely. That's one more time with that website if you want to get your tickets early, allbloodcancers.org/rockin.
And if you want to buy more than 10, give us that number again so people can get that group discount.
Call us at 847-424-0600.
All right. Sounds good, Carl. We'll see you Thursday night.
See you Thursday, and thanks again, Brian.
You're very welcome. That's Carl Alston. He's the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Leukemia Research Foundation, Rockin' for a Cure. This Thursday night, it's always a blast. Come out if you can. Say hello and help out a great cause. Let's head up now to Traffic Central, where Mary's hanging out, standing by, whatever she's doing. Remembering John Lennon today on the anniversary of his death. Which, I'm always, when something like this comes up and I say anniversary of his death, it's like he died of natural causes, but you don't want to say the anniversary of his murder. You know, you kind of want to just, you know, remember murder.
The day he died.
Yeah, the day, there you go, the day he died. All right, very good. Next Friday is a very exciting day here at WGN Radio. I am surrounded by some of the fine cast of The Miracle on 34th Street. We are putting on a live radio play here for your holiday fun. We've done these in the past. This year it is Miracle on Jerry Wells Street, based on Miracle on 34th Street. And just from the run-through we did the other day, I'm telling you, you do not want to miss this. Dave is a fine, fine host/narrator.
Thank you.
Andrea is something. We don't know because she didn't show up for the
read-through. No, I didn't even get the email. Dave, you got to send me the script.
I'm finding just the last 2 days, Andrea. It seems you get all the emails. You just decide
you know
not
what?
To read the emails.
That could be partially true because we got the invitation to the Christmas party.
Right.
Dave said, I'm bringing my wife. You're bringing your daughter. I said, you guys are bringing your family? And you said, yeah, didn't you read? I don't scroll down.
It said immediate family. I see the part
my
where
wife
it says,
is my immediate family.
My daughter's also my immediate family.
I see where it says Christmas party, December 18th, food, drink. Yeah. And then you know what? The page breaks. And I don't have a lot of time to scroll down.
I understand that takes a lot of effort.
I also didn't see the RSVP. So I just RSVP'd. And they said, oh, nice that you're
let you go?
RSVPing a little late. Yeah, they're going to let me go. I wanted to bring my 14 Greek cousins, my first cousins. They said it's kind of a lot of people, though.
You do know you missed the deadline.
I know.
I missed it, too, but I was off. Does that matter?
No, because email went out, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Marlene said it was okay.
Well, Marlene's very understanding.
She is.
And you're nice, Mary, and so are you, Andrea. So I guess they'll let you slide. I think if I had come in and, you know, late, said, hey, can I come there? Go, who are you?
Yeah, and you don't even eat anything anymore.
No, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm planning on getting all crunk at the party.
Oh,
I'm going to
really?
Get all crazy drunk.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do at office parties now.
Yeah.
Is that, look at Dave's eyes wide.
Then you go to work.
There's like, really? Oh my goodness, this could be the worst thing I've ever heard.
I can't wait to see this.
That would be good.
I can't imagine a crunk Brian Noonan.
You don't want to see me crunk in my holiday apparel.
There was a Facebook survey going around. We should do this. It was, who's the person most likely to, you know, get drunk and hit on the boss? Or who's the most likely to start dancing on the table?
Then
it's also the opposite, too. Like, who's most likely to kind of sit in the corner and not have any drinks and just kind of observe everybody?
I think that's got to be the smart way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since our party's in the middle of the day.
It's the end of the day for us.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, we're done. We're crunking.
Now, see, that's now Mary's getting crunk.
What are you doing, Mary? You're crunking.
Mary's crunking.
I have
then
no
she
idea.
Had a twerk.
Crazy drunk.
She's going to get crazy drunk. You can listen to this live. We won't get crazy drunk before we do Miracle on Jerry Wells.
Can you imagine, though?
That would be fun. You know, just the logistics, it's going to seem like we're drunk, I think, trying to get everybody moved. The moving parts are going to be the most amazing thing. It's from 10 to noon, a week from Friday on December 18th. Your favorite WGN radio hosts and some that you may just be marginally fond of, they're all going to be part of it.
Us included, of course.
Way to sell it, Brian.
The favorites are going to be there. We know the favorites. Steve is Chris Kringle. Roe is the lawyer. I don't remember the name. The main lawyer. Wendy is the main woman. If you've all seen Miracle on 34th Street, there's a kid who plays the main kid, and then Dave narrates. And
who's Santa?
Santa is Chris Kringle. That's
Chris
Steve. Kringle.
Oh, that's Steve.
Steve
okay,
Conrad,
got
right?
it.
Well,
I don't
the first
know.
Guy I mentioned.
You know?
Well, if you'd shown up, you would.
If I read the email, I didn't even get the email.
Cast list came out in an email.
I better check my deleted
what email.
File.
There's no email
I'm
for
check
that.
Check the spam file.
Anyway, there's also going to be mystery voices during the play. You'll be cued to call in and guess the voice. Maybe it's Steve Alexander doing one of his many accents. He's the man of a million accents.
The snowboarder.
The snowboarder. Guess correctly, you'll win a Chillcation package to stay at the Hilton Chicago or the Palmer House. Visit the contest page at WGNRadio.com for full details. And listen to Miracle on Jerry Wells Street Friday, December 18th from 10 a.m. until noon. It's sponsored by Lou Malnati's Pizza and Chillcation.com. And then I know they'll be rerunning it a few times on Christmas and Christmas Eve as part of the fine holiday programming here at WGN. I'm actually looking forward to this because I grew up listening to radio dramas. I know Carl Amari has the show on Sunday nights, the radio theater that I listen to and all that. So this is a lot of fun. And later this week, I'm going to check with Kevin because he hasn't pointed to me yet, so I don't know if I can do this today. But we are going to have a pair of tickets for you to come and be part of the audience.
Oh, that's cool.
I will not allow you to get crunk with Mary. I hear she's crunking. That's in her own words.
Yeah, did they get to go to the party afterwards?
I don't think so.
Oh, we kick them out?
I don't know how that works. Oh. That's why I have to wait for Kevin to point to me. I'll get all the details on that, and we'll find out all about that later. Do they get to come to the party, Kevin?
It's your call. You get to decide.
No, no.
See if we like him or not.
No.
I'm not on you.
Yeah, that's all I need. No, thank you.
We'll find out. We'll be giving those away either tomorrow or Thursday.
Yeah. All right. I like keeping it vague. We don't want to tie things down. We'll get people in here. But anyway, either way, even if you don't get tickets to come, you need to be listening on December 18th from 10 until noon. It will be a lot of fun. I think you need to tune in just because, as Dave said, we don't know what's going to happen.
No, we don't.
Judging from the read-through, it's going to be a blast. I think much like when Johnny Carson used to have a joke that would bomb, or you'd watch the Carol Burnett show, going back to what we were talking about with Dean, and Tim Conway and Javier Corman would crack themselves up, I have a feeling there might be some of that. And if you're listening to it live, you'll hear it because I have a feeling with the editing, they'll go in and clean it up for the Christmas rebroadcast. But if you're listening live, you don't know what will happen. All right? So that's all happening on December 18th. We're all looking forward to that very much, and we will get some clarification on all the other
questions. That's not all that's happening on December 18th.
What else is happening December 18th?
I don't know. There's supposedly a certain...
Could that be Baby Day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it's Ross's birthday.
No, it's the 20th, isn't it?
Ross's
birthday.
It's the day
birthday.
And everybody.
I thought
seems...
his birthday was the 16th.
No, his is the 18th.
All right, I read it wrong.
Does
upstairs.
He realize after this baby comes, no one's going to care about his birthday anymore? Sorry,
don't
Ross.
Say that.
Poor that's
Ross.
Just mean.
Well, that,
people
that's
care
what
about all
it
your birthdays.
It is true. No, my brother, his birthday is December 27th, and my niece's birthday. My niece was born either the. I think the 28th or the 20th. So my brother, we gloss right over his birthday.
Right.
Anyway, he missed out because it was right near Christmas anyway, and now his daughter was born on that day, so he's
He gets the little mini store-bought cake. You
He'll
know,
get a text, maybe.
Right, happy right. Birthday. And she gets the homemade cake.
Yeah, the Facebook messages.
Well, yeah, she gets
singing
a party,
happy birthday.
Whole,
yeah.
Well, she's also four. So she should she should get a party. You know?
That's true.
He's much older than four, and quite frankly, I don't think he deserves a party. But that's neither here nor there. All right, let's do this, and then it's news time. 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
It is Breakfast with a Blackhawk on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. I'm Brian Noonan in for Steve this week, and it is our pleasure to welcome to the program left winger for your Chicago Blackhawks, Ryan Garbutt. Ryan, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Ryan, if people don't know, came to the Blackhawks as part of the Patrick Sharp trade from the Dallas Stars, and we're happy to have him. What have you found to be the biggest difference between Dallas and Chicago as a city?
Actually, the weather so far. I played here a few years ago, but it's definitely a little bit colder, but it's hockey weather, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's always hockey weather. Yeah, you were here a few years ago playing for the Wolves, and now you're at the big show playing for the Blackhawks. Very exciting. It's been an exciting time for the team with Kaner's streak going on. There was some talk that the other night, you know, Q was yelling out, pass it to Kane. Was it a big focus as the game started to wind down the other night?
Yeah, I think as the game started to wind down and we had a lead at the end, you definitely wanted to have Kaner out there to get a chance at the empty net. I think everyone was pretty happy that he got the point there.
Kind of a scare for your teammate, both in Dallas and with the Blackhawks, and Trevor Daley the other night, Ryan, but sounds like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think so. I got to see him in between periods, and it looked like he was doing okay. And I haven't been able to talk to him since, but I've heard that he's doing a lot better, and it's definitely not something you want to see on the ice, but something you have to deal with as a team and make sure you keep your focus on the ice, and I thought we did a good job of doing that.
Yeah, I want to get back to the Kane thing, and this, I guess this question, history tells us you haven't been, but when you're with a guy or with a team that's got a guy on a streak like this, and what's it like? Do you find yourself ever kind of sitting back and watching and thinking, man, this guy is just on fire, and let's see what's going to happen next?
Yeah, definitely. It's fun to have a guy playing that well on your team because it's going to help you win. So I think that as a team, we just focus on winning every night, and that streak has just been a beneficiary of that.
Ryan, I'm always curious when somebody gets traded, like you did coming from Dallas to the Hawks, how do you find out that you're traded? What's the nuts and bolts of that? Does somebody call you? Do you find out through the newspaper? How did you find out that you had been traded?
Yeah, you just get a phone call from your GM. Usually they're pretty good about calling you before they announce a trade. And I found out about a half an hour before they announced it, and it was nice. I didn't have to find out on Twitter or anything like that.
And that's how a lot of things get – you find out a lot of things, unfortunately. But you're here now. How is it when you're coming in, you're an established guy, you've been in the league for a while, now you're coming into a locker room filled with guys who, you know, the core is very tight, they've been together for a while. How is it to adjust and make yourself part of a team?
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of an adjustment, and I think I use training camp to make sure I earn my spot on the team. And after that, it's just been a case of coming together as a team, and every day at the rink with the guys, you're going to come together over the course of the year.
Talk a little bit about, Ryan, if you would, your line mate Marcus Krueger and what he brings to the ice every night.
He's just so reliable in the defensive zone and plays the game the right way. He's good on faceoffs. He's really good with his stick. Obviously, he's a great penalty killer, and I definitely think he's been a big part of the Stanley Cups here.
Ryan, you got the first of two tonight against Nashville. They've reinvented themselves. They've become a real puck possession team. Their defensemen are really fast at getting into the play. What kind of adjustments do you guys make to take on the Preds?
Yeah, they've been good for definitely a few years now with their back end, and got a chance to watch their game for a bit last night. They definitely have D-men that can jump up in the play and jump up and play almost like rovers. So you got to be aware all the time, especially as a winger, to make sure you got your eye on your D-men as they come in the O-zone.
All right. You talked about how reliable Marcus Kruger is. You're also on the line with Andrew Dustjardins. The holiday season is upon us. Your line mates, would they be on Santa's nice list or his naughty list?
Well, I think they'd rather if they were on the naughty list, especially Eddie. From playing with him in the past, he's just a hard-nosed player and one of those guys you don't want to play against and you're happy to have on your team and especially on your line.
Very nice. All right, we do have a question from one of the fans. It is sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business. Her name is Sandra. She lives in Bensonville, and her question for you, Ryan, is if you didn't play for the Blackhawks, what would you have done for a career?
That's a good question. I definitely want to be my own boss. When you play hockey at the rink every day, you got five coaches and a bunch of other bosses at the rink, and I definitely want to be my own boss and own my own business.
Any particular type?
Not really. I think if I had the opportunity to do that, I'd focus after hockey.
Nice.
I know you're focused on Nashville tonight. In fact, the next two games against Nashville. But I'm sure you've looked at the schedule a little bit, and you know what's coming 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, just focusing on the divisional games coming up here. But Dallas is also in our division, and I realize we're going to be playing a lot of games against them, and you definitely mark those on the calendar. But got a chance to play them last game of the preseason, and that was kind of a nice little warm-up for it. But it's going to be exciting going back to Dallas for sure.
And after that first game back against the Stars, does it kind of just become another team? I mean, obviously the first time you're playing against them in regulation, there's mixed feelings. It's your old team. But then does it just become kind of you're like anybody else?
I think it's just one of those things where you focus a little more for those games and you get up for them. And that's the exciting part about playing hockey is to have opportunities like that to prove yourself and play well against a team that maybe didn't want you. So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to.
Well, and the other thing, too, is not only is it your former team, but they also lead the league in points and lead the league in victories. So it becomes also a very important game for you. You mentioned it's a division game, but they're playing as well as anybody in the league.
Yeah, for sure. They're playing well. They got a lot of firepower up front. And those are games that we're definitely going to have to get up for. And I have a feeling that we're going to be having a lot of battles with Dallas over the course of the season.
Well, Ryan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining us for Breakfast with the Blackhawk. Have a great holidays. And best of luck, the home and home against Nashville. And then the Jets come back into town on Friday night.
Right.
Yep. So a busy week for you guys. Have a great few games and a wonderful holiday. Thanks again for your time this morning.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, Ryan. Pleasure. That's Ryan Garbutt. He is a left winger, plays with Marcus Kruger and Andrew Dustjardins. And, big game. First of the home and home is tonight against Nashville. Puck drops at 7:30. You can hear the pregame with Judd at 7. And let's see, where are they? Oh,
and also Roe will be out there at 3.
Roe is out there, so he'll have a lot of fun all day. The Preds sitting currently third in the Central, and the Blackhawks
they're
fifth
one,
in the
one
Central.
The Predators are 1 point ahead of the Blackhawks, and that fourth spot is a playoff spot. So.
Yeah, so
it's a big game.
It is.
Because you got all these teams bunched. I mean, it's early. It's only quarter of the way through the season. But,
every point in the division. It sounds silly, but it does count.
But in April, when you're sitting there biting your nails, hoping you're gonna make it, these games become really important.
Yeah, you want those December games to matter. All right, let's do this. And then there's so much more. It's Steve Cochran Show on WGN. Let it play for a minute. And I have a correction that's like 3 hours late. I had said John Lennon was living in the Chelsea when he was shot. He was living in the Dakota. So somebody texted me right away and said, you were in error. And then we didn't have time to correct it. But now I've corrected it, so I feel I can go on with my day. And I will apologize to Andrew Dustjardins too, because I mispronounced his name. Now we're getting all the corrections out. This is when I just choked Dave up because he's like, I didn't, Dave corrected me, and rightfully so. And I do remember all the conversation when Andrew Dustjardins came to the Hawks, because people were like, Is it Desjardins? Is it Desjardins? And he said, I prefer Desjardins. And then I, of course, mispronounced it. Has there been any update? This is the weirdest story. And Dave, you might know, or Andre, you might know. It's a news story, too. Jay Cutler's brother-in-law. Is he still missing in Utah?
Yeah.
They don't know what happened to him?
Bizarre story. They found the vehicle that he was riding in.
He was they found the car about 700 miles from his home. It was the day after Thanksgiving. They received a report that the police did about a car off the road about 5 miles south of Interstate 70. Officers found a 2014 Honda Civic abandoned. They searched and could not find the driver. There's video from a convenience store that shows him getting gas, but nothing. And so there's been no other we haven't heard. I was looking. I didn't hear anything else. I didn't know if you had heard any more about it. But that is so weird.
It is weird. There's no signs of foul play. You know, the crews have been searching that entire area on foot, and they have a helicopter that was flying overhead, too, but still no trace of Michael Cavallari.
Alien abduction?
It's just strange. And here's what's weird, too, is that it's the area where he disappeared,
right.
The ground froze over, too, so there's no footprints or tire tracks or anything like that. So it's just... It's like he's vanished.
Yeah, that's very strange. I saw that and I was like, oh, man. And just, you know, it's horrible. Hopefully not, you know, horrible for him, but he is missing. But, you know, he's got a new niece, Sailor.
Yeah, he does.
Jay,
and, you know,
Jay and Kristen had a baby on November 23rd.
The only thing that's weird about his case is that, and this is according to a Yahoo story, that he was arrested outside a city hall in the community in which he lives after a woman called the sheriff's department to say he was harassing her and was standing outside of her apartment. So it sounds like some sort of a domestic because the two had argued a few days earlier. And then she called the police. And that was really the last time anybody saw him.
That's weird. So we'll, you know, we'll keep it. Whether you like Jay Cutler on the football field or not, this is a horrible thing for the family, especially for his wife, to her brother just gone. And nobody knows where he is. Just gone. All right. This since we have dumb stories, I like a good dumb story every once in a while. We got some other things to get into on the other side of the news. And one is always fun. But I know we got a break, Kevin. But all right. I'm not going to do the dumb story then. How about that?
He
just pointed
out.
No. All right. Here it is in a nutshell. Guy driving 100 miles an hour in Florida with a 12 or a Corona, three women completely naked. There it is. You can make up the story on your own. And Dave's like, that's a regular Saturday back in the day, back when he was up on the Evanston campus, no big.
Last weekend.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Now he's a responsible, now he's senior Gatto. But back in the day when he was just Dave Bennett running around town doing God knows what with God knows who, might have been 100 miles an hour.
What are you even talking about?
I don't know. That's the beauty of it. I do know that we have to take a break because Kevin has pointed at me. So now we're going to do that on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago. Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran is off this week. I'm Brian Noonan in all week for Steve. Andre, you will not be here the rest of the week. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm off the rest of the week, taking a couple of vacation days, and back on Monday.
Okay, and do we know who's in for you?
I believe Vic Vaughn will be here.
Heard of him.
Yes,
quite
Vic
talented.
Vaughn will be here with us. So you guys, I should say, not us.
Dave, you're not taking any time off this week. You're here.
That's not entirely true.
All right, good.
Oh.
Not good. But when will you be off?
I believe Friday.
Okay. I just like to know. I like to see the crew bailing.
There's a possible.
And Mary's off.
Well, I'm off Friday.
And I'll Mary's be off. And you're off. Ross will be off.
Well, listen, I get the message. That's fine. I understand. I'm not going to take it personally.
Steve Alexander will be here for you.
Are you going to stay, Steve?
I'll be here Friday.
But not Thursday.
Thursday, Big O will be here.
Well, that'll be nice to see.
Oh, that'll be good.
That'll
yeah.
be good. Okay.
Yeah.
So not everybody bailing on me. That's fine. Listen, I'm sure there'll be somebody just as qualified.
It's not as nice.
But.
It's nothing personal, by the way.
Sure, Dave. I understand. Steve, when are you taking off? Who's sitting in? Oh, boy. I understand. I get it.
No.
That's okay.
It's weird.
All.
It's like this the last crunch to use up the vacation days.
Yeah, I'll tell you. If I were you guys and had vacation days and they told me I couldn't roll them over, I would never be here until those vacations. That's my work ethic. If I have vacation days, I'm taking them.
Use them or lose them.
Right. So many studies came out that Americans don't want to use their vacation days because we're all afraid that we won't get our jobs back or that we'll prove to our bosses finally that – hey, they could do everything without us here.
Right.
So we're all trying to not take those days off.
You know, that's not entirely true, though. I will be here Friday afternoon because Mark Carmen and I are filling in for Bill and Wendy from 1 to 3.
How does that work?
So I won't be with you guys, But
so
I'll
won't be on your
station.
Regular job. You'll be doing a different job.
I'll be
job.
Doing a different job, yeah.
Listen, I don't know how
our poor managers trying to schedule everybody.
That's really messed up, I think.
Listen, I don't want to judge, Steve. I'm just here. I'm here this week and having fun and enjoying it. So I mentioned people not taking a day off. That's kind of disturbing. Here's another very disturbing trend, I believe. According to a new survey that came out, fully 30% of Americans say they don't plan to give out any holiday tips this year.
No holiday
None.
Tips?
No holiday tips. Do you have a doorman in your building?
Yes, we have a doorman. And, you know, I always wondered about that. The postal workers, you should tip the postal
workers. You have a mailroom in your building?
We do.
Sure,
yeah.
Yes, of course you should tip them.
Okay. I do. I usually
do. That's good. No, yeah. I'm not saying you don't. But yeah, you asked, should you? I'm saying, sure, I would imagine.
But what about tipping people who don't really do their job properly? Like
Such
people
as?
Who deliver your newspaper and give it to the neighbor constantly instead of you?
Oh, and then they
paper goes to the neighbor
all the time, and then they send a little card that says, you know, if you'd like to give me some money for Christmas, here's my address.
Yeah, give that to your neighbor.
Yeah,
give the card to your neighbor.
It's terrible service. So should I tip the guy?
No, I would not tip on terrible service. Right? You can't tip on terrible.
Yeah,
service.
But some people say, oh, you have to tip anyway.
Well, I mean, what about if you just they leave the paper at the end of the driveway?
You got to walk all the way
out there? Don't double bag it when it's raining.
Oh, my God. You guys sound like curmudgeons.
First world problems.
Getting that age, you know.
Well, the double bag should be a no-brainer. If you're a professional newspaper delivery person,
right.
You should know the weather is inclement. I'll do it. Now, do they just throw it out of their car?
Yeah, that's what they do.
I think it's a try. You know, it used to be. I mean, I had a paper route. Did you have a paper route?
Yeah, but
I delivered the papers on my bike. I made sure they were right on the front step.
Can I just say it?
Sure, but this is a Norman Rockwell photo that we don't live in anymore.
Can I flash forward to 2015?
Sure.
You guys still get the newspaper and you walk out and you get your rubber band.
Yeah.
Pull it off and read the papers.
They don't rubber band them anymore.
I read everything
online. We live
online.
In a house. What are we supposed to do?
Do you have a computer? A phone?
Don't bother
me
with technology.
I like the paper in my hand.
I love sitting reading the paper.
I like the actual paper.
Yeah.
I'm still an actual paper guy.
Yeah.
Sunday paper.
Kevin, back me up.
No, I love reading the paper.
Come
we get
on.
The paper delivered every day.
Ross,
here we are.
I need some millennial help.
I still use my phone, of course, all the time to read the Tribune and whatnot, but I still love reading a newspaper.
There's something about the feel of a newspaper, especially like I won't during the week. I'll just go online, but on Sundays I like the big. I like hearing the thump as it hits the kitchen
see the
table.
Ads, you got to cut out the coupons.
The Sunday crossword.
Oh yes, the funnies.
The funnies.
Do you guys go to the Trading
Sports.
Post after you read the paper?
I go into town for supplies. You bet I do.
You go to the farmer's market.
You go see Doc Baker
get
and
the Conestoga wagon hooked up, and I head in. I barter for some goods.
I tip our the garbage pickup. People,
sure,
and also our postal carrier, and I always get a nice handwritten thank you note from the postal carrier.
That's the only one
who ever acknowledges.
Really?
Yep.
Now, see, I'm trying to think.
And what do you do with that? Throw it away?
What do you do with all Christmas cards?
It's a card.
I blame Steve.
It's on Dave's wall of generosity.
I blame Steve Bertrand for this because I wrote him a thank you note or something at one point. He's like, "Oh, thanks. This is great," and then right in front of me, tossed it. But he's really right. What do you do with the thank you note? You throw it out anyway.
You keep it for about a week and then you throw it away.
Or if it's somebody who's really Well, the newspaper delivery people are weighing in on the text screen, as you can imagine. From the 847, I deliver papers. I've only had 4 days off this year. Yeah, it's a thankless job.
It is, yeah.
Because you think, even though Andrea doesn't believe that newspapers still exist, they do, and people have to deliver them all the time.
True.
Don't forget those wonderful black fingers from the newsprint. Oh, that's, that's from, no, I don't. Do you get black fingers anymore? I don't when I read the paper. Of course, I wear gloves because I'm very proper.
Okay.
I have white gloves?
Right, when I have tea, I like to wear white gloves. Learned early on to tip the newspaper delivery man. The closer it got to Christmas, the farther it landed from my door. Once I tipped him, it was back at the front door. Maybe that's what you got to do,
Dave.
That
sounds like
my problem, yeah.
You know what you do, Dave? Go out front and hang like a $10 bill right next to your door. And so then look at that. It's like luring them up like Pavlov's dog.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they'll drop the paper and take the 10 spot. Of course, that might only work once. But anyway, yeah, so 30% of us say that we're not going to tip over the holidays. 41% of those surveyed said it was because they can't afford to tip, and they believe 34% said holiday tips aren't necessary, Etiquette experts, of course, disagree. They say these are not good reasons not to tip people who have served you during the year. Tipping is important, they say, because it's a way of putting your chip down, no matter how big or small it is, and saying that your thoughts and actions are with the person you're tipping. So, Andrea, for your doorman, $15 to $100.
That's what they say. $100?
I don't know.
What?
How often do you go in and out of your building? How often do they hold the door?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Well, they don't hold the door. They sit at the desk and they punch the button.
Yeah, what do they do exactly?
Yeah, it's a revolving door. So it doesn't, yeah. So
no, I've been to Andrea's place. They're
great. I love my doorman. And you know what I usually do? I get them a gift.
Oh, that's
I'll
nice,
do like
too.
Liquor or, you
make
know.
Them cookies.
Yeah, you want a drunk doorman.
No.
That's even better.
You know, they
come
have the
on in. You live here?
You know the gift sets? You know, you'll get like Jack Daniels and the little rocks glasses. You
right,
know.
So you can have a drink with them at the desk.
Kind of.
What pour that out, Bob.
What does Mr. T give him? He lives in
I don't
building.
Know. I should find out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Mr. T lives in the building.
Yeah,
do you see him in the gym still?
I have not seen him in a long time. I think he travels a lot. He goes to Europe because the A-team, he told me, is still really big in Europe.
Sure. He's got to go make that Christmas
That's what he
money, that autograph money. When you somebody now another newspaper carrier weighing in saying do not tip for bad service or wet papers.
Oh,
news carrier, thank you to those who still read print. You're welcome, mm-hmm. Andrea, not included in that.
I know, sorry.
Do not tip for bad service and wet papers. So Mary and Dave, there's your answer from a news professional.
Okay.
Yeah, there
save
you go.
Me some bucks this summer. This
and then how much do you tip the newspaper delivery man? According to this, $10 to $30, according to this list from MarketWatch.com. $10 to $30.
And what are you supposed newspaper. To tip the postal carriers?
The mail carriers, a small gift or gift card, up to $20.
$20, okay.
The mail, the letter carriers, there's a weird, they have a lot of rules because they're government.
Yeah, there's a rule you're not even supposed to tip them or something.
Right, they can get a gift, amount. I think, up to $20. So that's why you got to give them a gift. I don't know. It's
Dave.
Who else should we? I wonder who else we should be tipping that we're not.
Do you have a handyman? A dog
yes.
walker?
Not a dog walker.
Hairdresser.
Hairdresser. Let me see. It's on there. Hairstylist, $50 to $100 or a gift.
What?
Really?
Or $50 to $100?
No, you guys, you make
a barber up to the cost of a haircut or a gift.
You make your hair appointment in November. That way you don't have to go back till January.
Or you go like I do.
Problem
I go,
solved.
I go to some old school barber where the haircuts are, still $20.
Yeah, so, well, that's...
look at my hair. You can see what I pay for. You get what you pay for. So I could drop him a 10 and he's like, wow, a 50% tip. This guy's a high roller.
What about your barista?
I don't believe in tipping the barista.
No, really?
No.
The holiday
you
time?
Have the same barista every day?
Yeah, really. Well, how often are you barista?
Ask Ross. He goes and gets your coffee.
Ross would know.
Ask Ross how much he uses your credit card to tip the barista.
Barista.
Ross, how much do I tip the barista? Yeah. No, I'm not a... I don't tip at the I don't go to the coffee places often, but I don't tip there.
I agree. You're already paying $5 for
a cup of coffee. You're making a cup of coffee. I don't tip at McDonald's when they slide me a burger. You know,
that's
you
a great point.
Look at Dave.
No, that's a good point.
And I thought I was a pretty good tipper, but now I suddenly feel very cheap.
You're kind of right, though. No. Tipping, I think, has gotten crazily out of control.
I for a short time worked at an ice cream place, and we would put a jar, and I'm like, why are people tipping to do your job? You know, your job is to scoop ice cream.
Yeah.
So you scoop the ice cream, and then you give it to them. I don't know.
I always felt that way. I mean, I always tip the bartender. You know, if you go out, always, you know, you give 20% tip. I always do. But I always wondered that same thing, too. That's your job, right? You're getting paid to do that? But I guess you live on tips.
Right. And service, like a waiter or waitress, I tip very generously.
Right.
I think, because if you're working hard, you deserve a tip. And if you're giving me a service all year, you deserve a tip.
Well, but so is the person scooping the ice cream.
Well, sure, but I'm only there once. Well, but that's not to say I won't throw it in. There's something about the coffee one. I don't know. It's the uppity attitude of baristas. They think they're better than everybody else.
Not all baristas.
All baristas
right?
do. It's because they're baristas.
They're so fancy. Their name is fancy.
Mary, I would rather tip somebody giving me some Dunkin' Donuts coffee because they're just like, here's a cup of coffee. And I say, thank you. A cup of coffee. That's what I need.
Yeah.
I don't need some fancy Spanish or Italian or made up name for my coffee.
You don't like when they say, Brian, your macchiato's ready.
No, don't embarrass me with my crazy drink.
But baristas,
I don't want people to know how frilly I am.
With a light whip?
They're like chemists, though, baristas, with all the mixing.
No, they're not. They punch three buttons on the big machine.
I guess.
And just because you hear steam and they're wearing a smock doesn't make them scientists. It makes them coffee jockeys. That's really all they are.
That's why I hate coffee, so I don't know.
Have you ever been in a Starbucks when there's a long line and a bunch of people waiting for their drinks, and they've got the cups lined up, and they're trying to keep all the drinks
in
proper order.
It's a tough job.
It's a very tough job.
Right. But they sign up for the prestige.
The benefits,
that's
I guess.
They're working there. Yeah. Benefits and prestige. All right. Somebody asked about the dog groomer. According to this list, dog groomers up to the cost of one session or a gift. So there you go. Tip. All right. Mm-hmm. I will say this. Well, since none of you are here, I could say I'll buy the coffee on Thursday. Aha, nobody's here.
Oh, that's
to take
Friday.
Advantage
no, I'm
of it.
Be here. Oh,
you're here Thursday.
I'll come over here Thursday.
Oh, you don't have to fill in for somebody else, Audra?
I'll be here Friday, just not here.
Well, you only get coffee during this shift. I'm sorry. I'll make sure I tip so Dave doesn't look down on me with scorn.
How much do you tip your favorite radio person?
I don't know.
Yeah, we're doing a disservice.
We're doing a service.
Right.
We're doing a disservice.
We're doing a big service.
Oh, look, the person who's been listening outside the Allstate Showcase is like, oh, a tip? I got to go. I'm going to put a jar out there for the holidays.
Yeah, put a cup out there.
Be like the Salvation Army kettle. All right, let's do this. There's so much more. Kevin is pointing at me. That means I have things to do on WGN. Took to the end of the program, but I have angered yet another group. The Starbucks people are very upset with me. Noonan, you're breaking my heart. I worked for Starbucks for a long time. The screen just jumped. Worked for Starbucks for a long time, and my husband manages. We worked very hard to keep our partners non-snooty. All right. Not all baristas are snooty.
See?
Just like, you know, I will, unlike Donald Trump, I will issue a mea culpa. Not all baristas are snooty. I don't believe we should keep baristas from coming into this country. However, some in certain stores do take their job a little more seriously than others.
How about extending visas to them and fiancé
I think
visas.
Baristas should be able to roam the countryside free and unencumbered. And I will not ask them to register. I will not try to monitor them. But just know, check your attitude. Dave, I know you're an apologist for all snooty baristas.
No, not for the snooty ones, but there are many nice ones.
There are many nice ones.
I opened the Starbucks app on my phone this morning and said, you've got a free drink.
Look at you.
That's great.
That's great.
Some barista somewhere sent me that message.
I don't know. A barista sent you that. So I get, and other people are saying, a server weighing in that Starbucks baristas make more than minimum wage. That's why you tip servers and not baristas. I don't know. I don't want to get embroiled in this. If you feel like tipping, it's the season of giving. If you can tip, tip. If somebody gives you good service, I'm not saying, you know, if somebody gives you really good service that goes above and beyond, they're overly friendly, then they deserve a little something. Toss them your change. Let the change. I know Andre doesn't like carrying change.
I hate carrying change.
So throw it in the bucket.
I will.
They always got the bucket.
Even if I get change at, say, Walgreens or wherever they normally wouldn't have a tip jar, I leave the change there on the side in case somebody else wants to use it.
Somebody said, don't forget to tip your propane delivery person. They deliver to you no matter what the weather.
Come on, seriously.
Oh, wow. Suddenly, fast forward to Mary freezing in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
My propane didn't get delivered.
How far are we going to go?
Everybody gets a tip, Mary.
Yeah.
I would expect a tip just for saying your name correctly.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. No, you're welcome, but say it with cash. Your thanks rings hollow.
No, what is it? No applause, just money?
Yeah, just throw money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Dave looked like he wanted to jump in.
No. The problem is also, like with the sanitation workers,
because
I always tip them. I put, like, some money in an envelope and tape it because they come at odd hours.
Exactly. I don't know when they come.
So I tape it to the garbage can, you know, and on the envelope I write happy holidays or whatever so they hopefully won't miss it when they're emptying the cans, but I'm never totally sure.
That they get it.
Or someone else could walk up and take it.
Right, some rando just roaming down your street. And goes, hey,
these are all very difficult problems we have to deal with this time of year.
To get that thank you note and hang on to it for a week.
Which I never get from them. I only get that from the postal carrier.
That's because some skateboarder has stolen your holiday tip for the trash bin.
That's right.
Alexander on a snowboard whizzes by.
Yeah, just comes by.
Well, what day do you normally do this, Dave?
Yeah, when do the tips go out?
Yeah,
and what's the
house chance
address?
You're going to hear that, pal.
All right, we got to do this, so we'll come back. Bill Luff will come in. He'll say hello. He'll weigh in on something, and then we'll be done. It's all happening on WGN. Thanks for listening and being part of the program this morning. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. But right now, it does my heart good to welcome Bill and Wendy into the studio. Good morning. Nice to see you back, Wendy.
Thank you. Why does
my heart good?
Wendy seems a little apprehensive that that could possibly be true, but
yeah,
I don't doubt that.
Really? Why do you doubt my genuineness? Didn't you see my heart leap with joy when you came through the door?
People who are too nice freak me out.
I'm not too nice. I'm just the right amount of nice. Mixed with just the right amount of way too nasty for my own good.
Equal parts? Is it equal parts?
So it depends on the day. Fluctuates by the minute.
Sure it does.
Actually, after Wendy's reaction, I'm going more to the nasty part now for the rest of the day. So everybody I run into, blame it on Wendy Snyder from now on.
Sir, it's your fault, Wendy.
It's all your fault.
Deal with that.
Don't call me a hoe. You don't know me that
times
well.
Times three.
Really, triple. She
to
comes
the third
out
power.
Blasting me.
Yeah,
wow.
That's how it is.
An angry Wendy. Good
yep.
luck to you, Bill, for
Thank
the rest
you.
Of the day.
Thanks.
What do you got on the big program?
A man has written a book about the friendship of Andy Griffith and Don Knotts. So
which is kind of like our friendship.
Similar to the friendship Wendy and I have, yes.
Who was too nice in that relationship? Because Wendy doesn't
Andy.
Trust him.
I think it was Andy.
Probably.
Yeah.
You're right. So that's it?
That's all we have.
Okay, well,
4 hours.
The whole day.
4 hours
I'm
of
I'm
looking
him. Forward to it. And you know what? I don't care. It does my heart good to listen to
you. Oh, listen to
that's right.
He's
Thank
so
you,
sweet.
Even after the assault, I will come back. I will meet that with niceness.
You're so kind. Thank you. It's very nice.
Lose
you're
the right. kindness.
All right. Wow. Tomorrow when you come in, I'm just going to flip you off and take a dump on your chair. Good morning.
He stayed 1 minute too long.
Yes, I guess. I'll save him now. Too late.